ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to another edition of the Sunday Breakdown. Now, where is Hong Kong Fooey?
Dude, yep, he had to go pee.
Just let him out to pee?
Now we break it down. Tonight, tonight, don't shut us down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday breakdown, scream aloud. Boom! Now we break it down. Tonight, tonight, we don't shut us down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Sunday breakdown, scream aloud.
Listen up, because I got the mic. Get me room because the face is tight. Cook the red zone, homie, better get it right. Microphone control, Superman script tonight. Cut it all on as it breaks it down. Giving you the blues on all around. Put the pounds and topics to the breaking ground. Championship fight, flying around. This is gonna be the craziest test round. Look at all this controversy I found. Take your ideas, turn them upside down.
Hong Kong Fooey with the bastard hound?
I don't believe the man, that's your cray. Jeff and Rob, let him out to play. Wandered in the traffic over ninja display. Then there's no more Hong Kong Fooey today. Don't you cry, guys, it's okay. Show was dead long ago anyway. Now the phone is yours. Take it away. Call these cats out in MMA. Make it loud. Make it live. Spirit of the Hong Kong Fooey survives. No longer the indigenous beat surprise. Take the internet. Bring it back alive. Come on.
Boom. Now we break it down. Tonight, tonight, we're gonna shut them down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Break it, break down, scream aloud.
All right. Sunday Night Breakdown. You surprised I'm here?
I'm not surprised you're here. I'm just surprised you're back.
Yeah,
I was kind of worried there for a second.
Oh, my gosh. Got to figure out. Can turn all these volumes off. Sorry. There we go. No, it should be good. No echo?
I'm not hearing echo.
Dude, hey, so everybody does need to go over to iTunes, man. Check out Mikey Ruckus's new album that dropped. You can buy individual songs if you just like particular stuff that he put out. You can buy the whole record. I don't really care what you buy. Just go buy something. You know, Mikey is a big supporter of this show, and we're big supporters of Mikey's, man. I mean, he helps us out in a lot of ways, not just with that kick-ass intro song that you just heard with Hong Kong Fooey. I know y'all are jealous of that. I think you might even be able to download that off there.
Maybe.
Actually, I think he's waiting to put us on his sophomore album.
Probably.
No, I mean, he didn't want to give him he was like, I'm going to save the best one. He probably gave him, like, Colin Fletcher's stuff, you know. Some of the stuff is good, but it's not quite at the level of the Hong Kong Fooey Sunday Night Breakdown remix.
Yeah, you can't give him the good stuff right away. You got to lure him in. I'd like to hear the extended version of our song. I think that extended to, like, 4 or 5 minutes. I'm sure he could get crazy.
I have a feeling you would. Did you go any fights this weekend?
I did not. Because I have like 7 out of 8 the next 8 weeks. I have 7 out of the next 8 weeks. And it's like, I just seemed like a good time to stay home. Since I won't have a choice for a long time.
So, hold on. This week you got Old Mill Days.
Yep.
Then you got...
The next week I don't have
Cage.
A fight for sure, but I'm going to Cage Sport if I don't work it.
Just to watch?
And then, yeah. Definitely. It's Harrison Bevins and Justin Harrington, man. It's a sick fight.
Who cares about that, dude? My dog, Rob, Iron Man Can, pro debut, son. Harrison Bevins and Justin Harrington. Come on, quit wasting my time with this silly stuff.
Yes, there's a lot of reasons. And the week after that is... somebody else's. Who is it?
Cage Quest. Cage Warrior Combat. Cage Warrior Combat 9 is the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. That's Cage Warrior. That's Cage Warrior Combat 10. Because isn't there one like October 24th or something?
No.
26th?
It'll go from the 11th to the 2nd. And then,
shouldn't be too hard to beat Bellator's pay-per-view.
I wouldn't think so. I think if you look at the fights head-to-head, I'd probably pick this one. A lot more interesting.
I got to be at Bellator this week.
Oh, yeah. How you feeling about that?
Well, dude, you know, I mean, I mean, I don't know, man. I'll learn a lot about Bellator being at an event so that I can understand the reasoning behind why it takes 6 hours to get through six prelim fights.
You might know too well by then.
Because, I mean, this fight card starts at 3:30. This fight card starts at 3:30. Okay. Last week, they had two fights, I think, that were dark because they couldn't get them done in the prelim time. So I'm just wondering why they have such a hard time cycling through fights. Because to me, it shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, dude, I go to very small promotions that roll through fights, dude. I mean, we watch a lot of fights, man, and people are rolling through them. And it shouldn't take, like, I mean, hell, dude, at fucking Cage Warrior Combat 7, we got through eight fights and started at 6 and was done at, like, 9:40.
Yeah, started a little bit late, 15 minutes late, but still. But I don't know why it takes so long. It can't be good for the people who go to watch. If I was sitting there for that long in between fights, I'd be going nuts. It wouldn't be a good experience. I probably wouldn't want to do it again. So
that's my concern. And my other concern is that they're having fights not on a res, which is very unusual for them.
Oh, that's true. Maybe they just love the Oregon State Athletic Commission and feel that they have a lot in common.
Well, see, the only thing I can think of is that with them being pros, I'm assuming that the Oregon State Athletic Commission figures that they always have to have blood work.
Right. Which now, Washington's going to have blood work, so that we will get rid of this stupid problem of having guys can't fight up here, using that as an excuse to not fight Nick Burnham.
If these guys would just listen to me, we wouldn't have this fucking problem.
I know. You said don't get a license to begin with, and you can't get suspended. There's no fights down there anyways. Just come up here and fight. There's fights every weekend. Pretty simple.
I mean, it sucks, you know, to have to say that, but, I mean, you know, it's like I told Trent last week. I go, sorry, bro, but I'm not worried about the promotion. You guys aren't going anywhere. You guys are always going to be wherever you're going to be at, whether it's Bend or Tillamook or fucking Seven Feathers or whatever. But these fighters, man, they're trying to go places. And right now the state of Oregon is holding them back. So just go do your thing, man. Don't waste the $15 or $25 to get licensed here. Get licensed in a state where you can fight consistently and not worry about suspension. It's a really simple concept. I just don't understand why it's so hard for people to figure out. The other thing, you know, that's really perturbing me is that people don't understand what a split decision is.
I know. Should have at least been a split decision. Really, one of us should have been an idiot at least, huh? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me ever. But they don't understand what it is. They think that, you know what they think.
I don't understand why people think that if somebody gives a score of 2-1, that they call that a split decision. That blows my fucking mind.
I know.
Or they're like, I like this one. I scored it a split decision.
Oh, my God. You can't do that.
hold on, buddy. How did you score it a split decision? Because I want to try that out. Can
There's
I coaches. Judge another Cage Warrior Combat? I want to try and give some split decisions out on my own.
There you go. Just write it on your card and send it back in. Split decision.
Hold on. I'm giving you two cards.
We could just save time and we'll just call it a draw instead of a split decision. Ridiculous. You know, there's a lot of coaches, though, that don't get that, and it's frightening to me. They'll be carrying on. Should have been a split decision. Should have got at least one round. I'm like, yeah, he did get one round, but that's not what a split decision is.
If your coach doesn't know what a split decision is, it's time for you to find a new coach.
Or he's been hit a lot, and he's a really good coach. You never know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. They're out there.
Dude, have you seen the video of this fucking young black gangster that gets knocked out by Rocky Lockridge?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. So Rocky Lockridge, he was a pro boxer, right? I saw this, like, early, like, maybe in the middle of last week, but it's really, like, hitting full steam on Facebook today. But, like, this black dude must be, like, some kind of gangbanger. And he's, like, sitting there mouthing off to this old dude. And he's like, I'm going to fuck you up, old man. I'm going to fuck you up. And then the guy says something to him, and then the dude starts taking a few steps, and then the guy's buddies are like,
don't do it, champ. Don't do it, champ. And then the guy said something else to Rocky Lockridge, and then the next thing you know, dude, the guy's taking a nap, leaned up against the building.
He didn't even fall. He just hit the side of the building and stayed?
Oh, no, he fell, dude. But his head was leaned up against the side of the building.
Oh, man. Yeah, you never know. Fuck with the old man.
Dude, he straight. I mean, the guy was like 44-9, I think Chris told me.
Wow.
As a pro boxer. Probably not the guy you want to be popping off to.
No way. No way.
That'd be like me being like, hey, Landon, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, bring it on. Bring it on.
Hey, Kovac, you big pussy.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks to either of those.
I'm going to beat your ass, Kovacs.
Yeah, not me.
And then my buddies are like, no, you don't want to mess with that guy. And then my buddies are like, dude, don't knock him out, Matt. Don't knock him out. And I'm not smart enough to pick up on, why are they asking him not to knock me out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Oh, man, that's brutal. That's what Judge Justice taking care of himself.
I just tagged you in it, so you should check it out.
Yeah. You don't need police.
No, dude, and then Chris was like, I hope these thugs listen, and I'm like, I hope they don't listen, because I enjoy watching these videos of them getting knocked out.
Every year. Am I supposed to call this guest? You probably don't know either, huh?
Dude, I don't know, man. I was out having to deal with bears all weekend.
Yeah, Skippy set it up. I don't have a number, and she hasn't called yet. I'll just watch. So Jason Ellis, so I imagine she'll call. Right?
I don't know.
Maybe. Interesting guest, though.
Well, interesting guest for sure, dude. Peggy Morgan and Juliana Pena.
Yeah.
Should be an exciting time.
I think a little later in the year would be probably even better, but still good to talk to him.
We'll just get him back, dude. I actually have I think there's some good things we can talk to Juliana about. It's unfortunate that Peggy hasn't had her first fight, so we can talk to her about that, but I'm actually curious to see what she thinks about some of the things that have already happened on the show.
Yeah, she goes by Julie, just so you know.
Who?
Correct you immediately.
She'll what?
Yeah, I asked her how she felt about the first...
Did you just say she'll crack me? Dude, I'm thinking...
Well, she'll correct you. She'll correct you. I said her name. I call her Julianne a couple times, and just real quick to remind me that's not her name. It's Julie. So, it's like calling me Jeffrey or you Robert. It just ain't it.
Dude, I have to let my clients get away with it. It pisses me the fuck off. Because, like, when my company set up my email, they use Robert. And I'm like, are you fucking people retarded? Because, like, I sign all my shit, you know, Rob. And so then, like, I have people that, like, try to email me as Rob with my last name. And then they're like, well, I sent you an email. And I'm like, what email did you use? That's not the right one. That's not the one I gave you. Oh.
Bro. Yeah, I usually take it as a sign that somebody wants to fight. They call me Jeffrey.
Dude, I'm just waiting to get hit in the back of the head by my mom or my grandmother. May God rest her soul.
Yeah,
the only people that ever
use
my full name.
We didn't do it.
The only people that use my full name are my grandmother and my mother, and that was normally right before I got like a leather sandal upside the head or chased outside and who knows what. You know, you have a Catholic Irish grandmother, and she starts using your whole name, shit's about to hit the fan.
Yeah, my mom called me Jeffrey once.
How long did it take you to walk again?
Actually, after the first week, she started being able to see out of one eye. So, yeah.
See, it's dangerous, man.
I can take her. She's little. I think I could take her since I was about 7. Don't exactly have a physically imposing mom, but...
But she cracked you good enough to close your eye.
No. Her eye, not my eye.
Oh. I'm glad. I'd just be glad you didn't have a grandma like mine, dude. She was not nice. I mean, I almost watched one of my grandma beat up my dad's mom in the middle of a clothing store one time.
Wow.
And my grandma was probably like, I was probably in like 89, 90. So she was like 61, 62. Just wow. She was ready to drop the hammer.
That'd be great. I got a message from Sean Eastman just a minute ago.
What did it say?
Beat his ass the first round, got taken down in the second, got up and stuck my head in a guillotine. Got some nice shots in on him and gave him some nasty elbows to the ribs, but didn't watch my neck. Live and learn, old man.
That's why they call it mixed martial arts. Dude, yeah. I hear that there was a pretty crazy fight last night.
Which one? Well, UFC
on
fight?
UFC, yeah.
Yeah, it
did
was
you
interesting.
Happen to, did you watch it?
I did watch it, yeah. It was I think it was a bad decision. I don't think that Jones deserves to have the belt after that, and I think that Gustafson does. He took it from him, but apparently not. Just another example of a flawed scoring system and the people who are using it, because one judge had it 4-1 for Jones, which he's got to be on crack or a regular user, and he should be drug tested and fired, because that's ridiculous. He did not find 4 rounds of either one. Maybe Gustafson, but not Jones by any means. That would just be ridiculous.
What,
It was one of those fights where it was close enough that you really can't say, you know, some of these accusations of it's fixed and all that shit. It was close enough that you can't say it was fixed. It can just be some bad judging and some, you know, just bad judging, because he didn't win, but he won. It was close enough that it wasn't robbery. It was just bad.
Well, when I got back to town, I saw some pictures of John Jones, and if that's what it looks like when you win a fight, I'd like to know what Gustafson looks like losing.
He couldn't walk out of the cage. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. And he won. Get the fuck out of here. Give me a break. You should go to walk and talk if you won. The other guy's walked out of the cage, and he's the one who took all the leg kicks, and he walked out. He talks fine. He's normal. His face wasn't exposed. John Jones looked like he had like a fourth lip, man. His lip was so huge, sticking way out past his nose. It was nasty. Looked beat up.
Did he look like
his
nose was on crack?
Yeah, he looked like he'd been snorting heroin and crack and rock salt and Clorox. He looked bad.
There's a big fight this coming weekend, isn't
there? He tried to take him down so many times, and he couldn't even get Gustafson down.
Okay, that's something that I'm glad that you mentioned that. Because I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
So I saw, you know, these people always post this fucking fight metric shit because, like, you know,
yeah.
The guy that lands the most strikes obviously wins the round, which I really, I mean, as somebody that's judged a fight, I'm just going to tell you that if that's how you're scoring a fight, I never want you to score one of mine unless it's a kickboxing fight because that's the only time
that
volume matters.
Yeah.
Because I
would
tell
not believe
you
how many do that exactly like that.
Yeah, this isn't like, this isn't amateur boxing. This isn't kickboxing. This is mixed martial arts, and it's a fight. Now, if you hit me 45 times, and I'm walking through them, and I hit you 6 times, and you're fucking wobbly gobbly all over the place like you just drank a fifth of tequila in 5 minutes, who's winning the fight?
Yeah. Not you.
But here's the thing. So everybody's posting this shit about from Fight Metrics about, total strikes, 191 of 278 for Gustafson and 120 of 221 for Jones. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the total strikes. So what would you think that the significant strikes would be?
Well, it's far less.
No, not with these idiots. With these idiots, it's 120 significant strikes of 120 total strikes. Now, how is it possible that every punch you land is a significant strike? If you hit me with 120 significant strikes in 25 minutes, I should be dead.
Yeah, we're redefining significant. Significant must just mean landed.
And here's what's worse, is that they say Gustafson landed 191 significant strikes out of 191 total strikes. I'm sorry, but not every strike is significant.
some strikes are just thrown out there to measure distance and to make sure that, you know, you throw that jab. A jab to me is not a significant strike unless you, like, I mean, some guys have a very stiff jab. You know, some guys have a very stiff jab, and you know, some guys have been dropped by jabs. But I think that's just more because they were, like, maybe caught off guard. But if I touch you with a jab to measure the distance for an overhand right, which one is a significant strike?
Yeah, not the jab. Just feeling them out, feeling them out, feeling them out, then boom. So feeling them out is not a significant strike.
No, I mean, I figure like, that, you know, maybe 30% of your total strikes are significant. And that's, I think, maybe pushing it at times.
I agree, because that would be like a 1-2 would be 50% of them, but then you throw like a four-punch combination, probably only one of those is meant to be money. You know, you're really trying to do some damage. The other one's just trying to score, land some punches, and keep them moving, get them to move their hands or drop their hands or, you know, do something wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I just really, you know, and that just like is part of, you know, I mean, part of the problem with why everybody and their brother feels like they know how to score an MMA fight, because they don't. You know, I mean, like we were talking before the show started, man. I'd love to be able, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, I think what they all complain about this because they don't understand that every 5-minute section is its own little world. Like, you have to, like, look at the first round, and you judge the first round. And then, you know, within 20 seconds, you're handing your sheet of paper to, you know, I'll just use the experience from what I do up at Cage Warrior Combat. I hand my slip to Rocky or you. I mean, depending on how we're doing it that night. Some nights I hand it to you, and some nights I hand it to Rocky. But it's within, like, 20 seconds of the end of the round. Now, once I hand that sheet of paper over, round one is over. It's in the books. You have to be able to compartmentalize that and put it in the past. And now we're going to move on to round two. Round two is its own little universe as well. What happened in round one has no significance to what's going to happen in round two.
Can't. With the scoring system, it can't.
Yeah. And so what I think is that a lot of these casual fans that are like, well, look at what Jones looks like. Look at what he looks like. Oh, my God, he looks like shit. Well, he might look like shit, but if all that damage happened in the first round, that bears no scoring weight on the subsequent second, third, fourth, or fifth rounds. Now, if, you know, he got a puffy eye in the first round, and in the third round, Gustafson cuts him with a left hand. And then, you know, in the fourth round, Gustafson drops him with an uppercut. Those are things that you can use to score those rounds. But the casual fan doesn't quite grasp the fact that you have to look at these five-minute segments as their own entities. It's kind of like you go to work one day, and we'll just say that you're a chef in a restaurant, and you put together a plate and you send it out. Okay, maybe Jeff, you ordered a Caesar salad for your starter, and the Caesar salad was really fucking awesome, right? Like, you loved it.
Yeah.
You were like, man, that was a great Caesar salad. And then for your entree, you've got a medium rare filet mignon coming with a baked potato. I don't know if that's what you'd eat or not, but we're going to use that example.
I want one now.
And you're like, man, that was okay. You know, that was okay. And then you order for dessert, maybe you get a creme brulee. And the creme brulee tastes like shit. You know, at the restaurant, you can judge that whole meal as a whole because it's at a restaurant. And it's your dinner.
Yep.
And it's an experience.
Not broken to parts.
But in the fight game and in the unified rules of mixed martial arts, we don't judge the fight as a whole. As much as I would love to be able to judge the fight as a whole, because I really think that, you know, that is the more appropriate way to score the fight.
That's mistakes
we
made.
I think there should be four scores. Like, if we're looking at a three-round fight, I think there should be four scores. You should have the three-round scores, and then you have a score for the whole fight.
Sure. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know, so like a three-round fight might be 40,
36 or 39, 37.
Yeah.
Because that, I think that, you know, I think that we do need to take into fact, you know, the whole fight as a whole. But that's not the way that the rules are devised, and that's not, you know, the set of instructions that you get talked to about before you sit down in your judge's chair. And it's this. You judge this five-minute period or three-minute period if it's an amateur. You judge this five-minute period or three-minute period, and you judge this five-minute period or three-minute period. You turn in your scores to the timekeeper. Well, I mean, you know, they make it to the timekeeper. She uses her calculator, does some math. Boom, turns it in. It's that's how it is, man. There's not this look at who, you know, we can't look at the whole fight. And you have to, like, the casual fan needs to understand that, you know, you have these people, the judges are looking at each 5 minute segment by itself. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to give, like, a carte blanche for these judges to suck ass at fights, because there's a lot of times where I'm, like, sitting there going, how the fuck do these guys come up with this fight?
Yeah.
And that this person won. And that's just because they're inept at what they do. But that's not anything to do with the directions given to them by the sanctioning committee or the sanctioning body or whoever. That's on the judge. You know, and I really think that this whole thing about, oh, you should have to be a fighter to be a judge and blah, 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 blah. I don't really think so, man. I don't. I think that there's people out there that are competent. They know who wins a fight, and they're not fighters.
But do you, how many, those people are not, it's not like they all got a sign on them that says, I'm one of those people that understands. I just think that if you use more fighters, you would have less problems because they have a better understanding of the game. Sure, there's people out there like yourself who could do it no problem because you understand the game. But there's a lot of people who think they understand the game and they don't know shit. And it would be disastrous to have them. Well, some of them obviously are judges. You know, it would be, it's not good that they are. So I'm not saying there aren't others. And you're one of them. You do, I mean, you know that I know what you can do. So they're out there, but they're hard to find, man. Most people think they know what they're talking about and they don't know shit.
No, that's true, you know, but I mean, at the same time, so we'll, okay, so let's just say this. Let's look at, like, say we have a guy that was a fighter, very strong wrestling background, strong base in wrestling, really, you know, that's his bread and butter.
Yep.
Is he going to score the fight more for a takedown than for a guy, than for, say, the guy that's over here boxing this dude up, but since he didn't get a takedown, the guy's like, oh, well, this wrestling takedown. You know, I mean, there's things that you can find with everybody.
Yes.
That do wrong. You know, like, there's no perfect world. Like, is a striker going to score a guy getting a takedown, like, less than what he should? And is a wrestler going to score a takedown more than what he should? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's such a fine line. I think that, you know, with it's just really, it's one of those things that's really tricky, man. You know, I just think there's people out there that are good at it, and I think there's people out there that aren't good at it.
Yeah, those that do it already and those that don't. Definitely there's room for improvement, that's for sure. But I would hope that the guy that is a, you know, that was a wrestler, the person that you're describing, that they, whoever gets them involved in being an official, I mean, you're already picking someone who's not going to just have a hard-on for wrestlers and, you know, stand-up's no good and not important. And he controlled the game because he, you know, had position. And you got to pick people who have a good understanding and aren't biased towards one thing or another. I mean, there's things that I would rather watch more than another, but I don't have a trouble keeping them in perspective as to which one really matters. Or, you know, takedown's great, but what you do when you got it? Do they just stand back up, you know, which is common. We see it all the time. I just stand right back up, and then I pretty much give you jack shit for that takedown because you couldn't keep him down, and you didn't get anything while you were there. You landed in a decent position on accident, you know?
Yeah.
People think that judging is a lot easier than it is, but I think if they listen to us talk about it like this, pull it apart.
Sucks.
It's not quite
sometimes, dude.
Yeah, it's a thankless job. You have people pissed off at you every time, and, I mean, they think you're an idiot. As soon as you sit in the chair, you're already an idiot. And you haven't even done anything yet. You're burdened with everybody. It's like that racial stereotype and whatever, racial profiling, whatever. It's like that.
you have this job, so you must be a moron. You ruined the, you fucked up that UFC, didn't you? No.
Yeah.
And it sucks, man. It sucks to be sitting in the chair because that shit weighs on you. Like,
yeah.
In the back of your mind, dude, you're like, all right, so my first judging experience was Cage Warrior Combat 5, 4, I don't know, whatever one it was, dude. 4, 5 hours of driving, dude, from my house to Kingston, Washington.
Yeah.
All I could sit there and think about the whole way was like, don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up.
Don't be that guy that you tear apart every week.
Yeah. Like, I was like, don't fuck up. Because, you know, dude, it's not like, it's not even so much that, like, you know, I don't have a problem admitting if I made a mistake, man. Like, you know, but you have these people's careers in your hand, and it's your obligation to do the best of your ability to score the fight appropriately.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'll never forget, like, the advice you gave me was you have to make a decision. And that, at times, can be the hardest thing to do in a very, very close round. Because you have to also disconnect the fact that, you know what? You know each of these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, trying to judge... what was the first fight where I knew two people, where I really knew them both, and I was like, fuck, man. I'm like, God, one of these guys might be mad if this is a good fight.
Yep.
But you have to, like, separate that, and it's, like, the hardest thing to do is to, like, put your friendships aside and be like, I'm sorry, man, but you did not do enough to win that fight, and you've got to be willing to, like, stand behind your decision, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent.
I lost friends over it. I lost had people delete me off their Facebook over it. Several. But I've lost friends over it because they just think I should have given it to them. It was a split decision, and I didn't go their way, but one of the other judges did. They're like, man, fuck you. You had it right. You couldn't get it right. Like, okay. Sorry, bro, but that's not how I saw it. I don't even know who you are when the fight's going on. You're fighter A or fighter B, and I just go to the sport to call it how I see it. You know, it's no disrespect to you, and I'm not going to disrespect the sport and give it to you just because we're friends. So, got to win.
Well, and I think that part of the thing that people don't understand is that, you know, like, the judges are positioned around the cage in very different locations. So, like, while maybe the action is going on right in front of me and I can see these punches landing, the guy that's across the cage that sees one guy's knees up and the other guy's back who's in mount and looks like the guy's defending and nothing's coming through, you know, may not be scoring it the same way as I am because his perspective or the way that the fight is framed for him at that point in time is so drastically different. And I think it may be, like, maybe in a ground-and-pound situation that might not be the best example, but, like, if two guys are sitting there grappling and going for subs on each other, and it's very, very hard to see, you know, what guys are trying as far as submissions when they're fucking piled up in the corner clear across the cage from you. Like, you're sitting there, like, trying to fucking hope that you're, like, what you're seeing is what's going down. Amy Cadwell-Cheryl Chan fight is one that I can remember was where a judge and me were a little bit differing in our opinion because from his angle, it didn't look like some of the strikes were landing. But from where I was, I could see they were getting through.
Yeah, I could see they were getting through, too. I had a real good angle.
You know, I mean, there's just, like, everybody thinks, like, oh, well, the judge is just watching it on this screen like I am. And, you know, as the fight moves, the picture changes. Well, yeah, the picture does change. And sometimes it gets a lot fucking worse. A lot of times you're sitting there going, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Or so little happens that it gets to the end of the round and you're like, please, somebody do something. Do something. Take him down. Throw a punch. Come on.
Yeah, and then those late round takedowns, some guys just score way, way, way too much.
Yeah, unless it's the same show, it don't count for much with me. Unless you do something with it. You do something with it, then that's really effective takedown, and you know, everything behind after that will reflect it. But if you don't, save your energy.
because you're not going to get much. I guess if it was a dead even fight and a guy got a takedown at the end and didn't do anything with it, I would barely give him the fight, and it would trouble me because I would think the other guy pretty much reversed the position instantly, so what kind of credit does he get for that? Although we don't give credit for defense because the reward for defense is not getting hit. Just a thing in the rules, sort of in the judging system, how you're supposed to think. So I can't really give him points for the escape or reversal, but if it was close, it's something to keep in mind. Do you know that about the defense thing, that you're not supposed to give him any, you don't give points for defense, the reward for defense?
Yeah, why would I give you points for defending?
Yeah, you want points for getting out of the way, and you're in a fight. It's a game where people try to hit you and you try to get out of the way. No.
I'm not giving you points because you can put your fucking hands up.
Yeah,
well,
I blocked all those,
man.
Those didn't count. I blocked all those. I've heard that. I blocked all those. Those didn't count. Well, you blocked them with your fucking hands, with your arms and your head, you know, your shoulders. That doesn't mean they didn't count for something. You didn't do anything. Great. You didn't get a lot of them through to your face. You battered your arms and your shoulders, and you didn't do shit. So he still wins, you know? Got
to fight. Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't understand. I blocked him. Well, good job, buddy. Did you throw anything in between there, or were you just too busy? Like, this ain't fucking Mortal Kombat where you can block shit and then all of a sudden, like, go on the offense and win. Now, if you block him and then you knock the guy down, fucking rad, dude. I'm going to give you points for knocking the guy down, but not for blocking his punches.
Yeah, that's common sense. Someone with no experience can know to do that. Get the hell out of the way.
I just think it's silly.
Yeah, it is. So, Bellator this weekend, you got Brent Primus, Austin Springer. Is anybody else from down there that's in it?
Brent Alvarez from Art of War and Eugene. Brent Primus from, I'm not sure where, Sports Lab, I guess.
Sports Lab, he's from, I'm making his mouth hurt right now. Or I made it already, actually, yesterday.
I was really surprised to see that on Tapology, Brent Primus was only 51% to win.
People don't know him. I would pick him to win by sub.
Yeah, he's 51% with 57% of those people thinking KO, TKO. I think that's because he has TKO'd a couple people with ground and pound. Because, like, he gets him down there, and then he has such good top control that whether he has your back or what, he can do whatever he wants.
How do you have it? What do you see happening?
Well, I mean, see, I'm a little biased because, like, I mean, naturally I think he should win by submission. But then I like part of me like thinks that maybe he should go with TKO because that's how he has won a couple of his fights.
I didn't know that. I assume he just won a lot by submission with him being a black belt.
See, with him being a fucking monster. Yeah, I mean, he won his two pro fights with submission. Tapped out Roy Bradshaw with a rear naked choke at Midtown Throwdown 5 or something. But then he's KO'd Daryl Cavan at Emerald City Fight Night in 13 seconds.
Yeah.
TKO'd Ricky Young.
Really big.
TKO'd Ricky Young in 10 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
That does not sound like a black belt. That sounds like he's an exception to that rule, then. Black belts don't have much striking. He sounds like he's a striker with a black belt.
Dude, he is fucking huge, bro. Like, I'm telling you, the fact that this guy fights at 155 blows my motherfucking mind, man.
Wow, 55, huh? By his pictures, I assume that he fought at middleweight.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. And he is a lightweight. How he makes that cut, I would love for somebody to fucking tell me.
Wow. Yeah, well, the Ben Fodor, he goes down like that, too. He walks at, 210, goes to 55. Still looks
how? How do you cut 50 fucking pounds?
I don't know, man, because he's lean. He's got a six-pack with at 200, and he's, you know, then he goes down to 55 and has a six-pack with a six-pack. So, I don't know. It's amazing to me. I mean, your body's made up of a lot of water. If you're mentally strong and your body can take it, you could lose half your body weight, but not likely. Super dangerous. Really dangerous. So I'm hoping Alfonso changes his dieting thing, his weight loss thing at the last day, because that whole 20-plus pounds in one day, that's just hard on you. No matter what, no matter how you feel mentally, it's going to be hard on you. You're not going to bounce back all the way. I think we saw it the last fight.
Well, I think the last fight for Alfonso was more about what kind of a first-round Carl Edwards is capable of having than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, because we always see it, dude. I haven't seen anybody win a first round from Carl Edwards. Not a single – I don't fucking care what your name is. I have not seen anybody beat Carl Edwards in the first round. No
one. Good point. I don't think that I don't think I have. And I've seen most of his fights, even his amateur fights. I've seen almost all of them.
If Carl Edwards didn't look like fucking Bobby Lashley and it could improve his cardio somehow, I'm afraid to know how good that guy might be. It's scary
after the
to
fight,
think about.
He told me, he said, I just don't have it. I'm not like a real fighter. I don't have the discipline to get the cardio in like I need. So this just happens over and over. And he's just like nonchalant and almost laughing about it. Like, he can tell he's a little disappointed, but he's like chuckling about it. It's just like, man, dude, that, you know how dead on you are? You could just be a killer. You are a killer for 5 minutes. But the drop-off.
Dude, he's good for the first 7 minutes. He's literally good for the first 7 minutes. Because I think when you watch that fight, you'll notice, I'll even mention that during the commentary, is that there's a point where Carl unloads a flurry. And if I remember the commentary right, I think I said, this is exactly what he did against Dario Mobley, which means now is when Alfonso will take over.
He did.
Because remember in the Dario Mobley fight, Carl fucking was like raining down, had him up against the cage, punches, big knees, big punches, knees. And then all of a sudden Dario just spun him, and it was just like, it was Dario's fight, you know, from that point forward.
Yeah. I think people know that about him. Survive the first round, and you're probably good. Probably going to be okay.
So now, back to Brent Primus, though. The guy
alone.
He's fighting. Huh?
Too much time training alone. We can only push ourselves so hard. And
Carl
like
Edwards trains alone?
A lot of the time, he trains alone. And so, you know,
are you fucking kidding me?
Without a coach. He trains with other fighters. And then it's just, you know, if you and your buddy are out doing stuff, you're going to push yourself. Maybe you'll go a little harder because he's your buddy and you want to beat him, but... He's not going to be to the part where you want to puke and you fucking hate his guts, you know, and you're freaking out. It's not like he is with a coach. You get those.
Hold on, dude. This guy doesn't have a coach?
He has a coach. He trains at a couple different places. But he's not committed to one, really. And so he doesn't spend all his time there. So there's no one pushing him for cardio, you know. He kind of does his own thing. So,
dude, if he had a full-time coach, my God, man. Aren't there guys out there salivating to bring this guy in? I would... If I was an MMA coach in Washington, I would be wanting to bring him in.
There's lots of coaches that have offered. He has the option with two or three coaches out there to train. So he does. He trains with each of them, and he goes and just pretty much goes and does live stuff. You know, he's sparring or he's rolling. He's not doing the conditioning part. He's had a lot on his own, and it's just not enough. As you saw, and at that level, you got to really hit it hard because guys like Alfonso who – he might have got tired after really fast this time, but he gets tired, but he only goes down to a point. He's not completely wiped, where Carl was just done. When he got to that point, he went from, you know, 100 to 0 or 10, you know, no comparison. In it, where most people would just slowly tire out, get less and less, he just went like brick wall, boom, done, nothing left.
It was more like Alfonso gets down to like 65%, and then he's stuck there.
Yeah, he just stays. Grinds through and has little explosions where he finishes it. I could see it coming.
So,
I know what's going to happen. By the end of the first round, I could tell what was coming. There was less effort being put up to defend, almost like a resigning to the fact that I don't have the cardio. Here it goes. When I'm a ref, I look at their faces a lot, study how you can just see things changing them. It helps knowing when they're hurt, when they're going to need to be, you know, saved.
You watch them. You really see a lot.
And
I think the advice I give to them all the time is that there's things that you can do to make it so the judges will, if it's close, it can go in your favor. Never look tired, no matter how fucking tired you are. No, never look tired. You know, always look like you're ready to go. And if you're hurt, don't look hurt. Do whatever you can to not look hurt. Because if the round is really close, the judges are looking back and forth with the guys and just going, well, how's he look? How's he look? One like dragging himself back, or they were on the ground and he can't stand up, and the other guy pops right up and goes to his corner. There you go. There's made your decision. He was close, and they gave it to the guy who popped right up and went to his corner, not the guy who could barely get up or got up slow and looks like he's going to throw up. So it makes a big difference.
See, by the time that by the time these guys are walking back to their corner, I'm like looking down at my sheet of notes where I've got like my slash marks at, where I'm like keeping track of like who did something like I think was like worthy of a slash, and I'm like. Because I'm always like, people are always like, oh, yeah, man, he was walking around with his hands raised. Like, that's going to sway my fucking decision. I probably didn't even see him doing that shit.
Another thing that's common, too, is that you'll hear the coaches, and they know how to work the system. There's some that are notorious for it, and they'll be like, every time a kick lands, hey!
Yeah.
Boink, boink, boink. It's like, keep touching them, Johnny. Keep touching them, Johnny. Keep scoring points. Yep, and just working it. And then when the round's over, instantly, the coach says, you won that round. That round is yours. You got that round. And that's just a dead giveaway that we didn't, or they know that it's really close. And so they do those little things that a lot of the judges haven't been doing it a real long time. The sport's still fairly new, you know, as far as being this big and having this many people. So there's guys who are just not that experienced. They hear this little thing where they got this coach who's respected and been around for 20 years, and he's saying his guy won that round. Well, if I'm not sure, then his guy won that round, you know. That mindset's all over the place, so they can really influence the outcome of a fight, and a lot of times I believe they do. I just tell all my judges, don't fall for any of that shit. He's working you. You don't even do it. It doesn't matter what he says. He's going to be pissed no matter what if this guy loses, so just don't do
it.
Let
me ask you this. Do you think it's bad to have a corner tell a guy that he won a round? And here's the reason I ask. Because I think that if, like, say you're my coach, right, and I come back from the first round, and you're like, great job, man, you won that round. And then I come back from the second round, and you're like, great job, you won that round. Do you think that a lot of guys will coast through that third round?
Yes, I think it's a bad idea to do, and I think it's a bad idea because today's judging system, the coach could be wrong, and he's giving you bad advice. Keep pressing on, keep putting the pressure on. If you won a round, wait, just tell him, keep doing the same thing. Do what you just did. Do what you just did. Finish this fight. Not you won that round, because then it's like, okay, I'm this far through it, and I got it. So then if they get through two rounds where, like you just said, they were told that it was in the rounds, well then why risk it in the last round? Why fight hard? All I got to do is get through this round, defend, you know, throw a few punches, make it 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and I win. And we get to the end, oh, I didn't win. Shit. The coach was wrong. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, oh, I lost a split decision 2-1, and everybody gave the third round to the fucking other guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think when I think about something like that, and the reason I think about that, I ask you that, is because, like, I always think back to Misha telling Caraway, just cruise through this round. You got
it.
He does?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I would never tell one of my guys to cruise. I might tell a guy, dude, you did a good job. You're following the game plan. Yada, yada, yada. Keep grinding. And if he's like, did I win the round? I'd be like, who knows, man? Are we going to let it go that far where we need to find out?
Yeah. That'd be just the mindset of let's just finish this fight. Don't leave it to the judges. Everybody's seen lots of bad calls. Don't let yourself be one of them. Most fighters have had at least one. I've had one. I mean, it just happens. So
who was your bad call? Who was your bad decision?
I don't remember.
Would Landon agree with you calling it? Would Landon agree with you calling it a bad decision?
Maybe. I don't remember very well. No, probably not. He probably wouldn't agree. I experienced pretty much everything.
Is that just because he rides you like a stone pony?
Yeah, even if he agreed with me, he probably wouldn't agree with me, just to not agree with me because I'm his brother.
So it wouldn't be, you know, just to be a dick. He'd be like, no, no, that's not what happened, Nancy. Weren't you there? Just make me feel like a chump. So, yeah.
So, hey, now back to Bellator 101 before we got sidetracked off on that long-ass rant. So this guy that Brent Primus is fighting, Scott Somitz, fought Sterling Ford to a decision. What is that at Cage Warrior Combat in 2011?
Wow. I mean, he's good. Because to me, Sterling Sharp or Sterling Ford is like, he is almost above Bellator, a lot of the Bellator fighters level. He's like, just beneath, you know, he's stuck in that rough middle spot where, I mean, I don't know if he'd go to Bellator if he was offered it, but he's a strange fighter.
See, and I don't, and you know, and it's so weird when I hear people talk about Sterling Ford. This is what I hear all the time. But when I, what, from what I've seen about Sterling Ford, is I don't think that he's ready for that level at all.
Yeah, well, he was in strike force for a while.
He might be, man, but I've seen him fight, dude, and he puts it on cruise control.
This is true, but he's never been in shape, is what I'm told. His coach said he's never been in shape, and this time he's in the best shape of his life. He's going to be at 145. Let's see what he's made of. I hope he comes out and we can see what he's really got. Him just 100% the whole time, because he's going to need it, because the other guy's going to go 100% the whole time. You know that.
I mean, I can tell that he's got a lot of talent. I can tell he's got it's him and Julian Arosa are like twins, in my opinion.
Yeah. Awkward, weird, like stand-up style. Looks almost like an old-time boxer to me. They have this upright
very
style.
Talented, but they have this mindset that, like, this guy doesn't belong in the cage with me. And then they allow that guy to show everybody that he does kind of belong in the cage with them.
Yep.
And they have to, like, really fight to get the win. When, you know, a lot of times I think, I'm trying to think who the hell I saw Sterling Ford fight last. Because it was, I think he had finished it in the third round, maybe.
Yeah, you see him fight that kid, that the guy at Cage Sport. He fought, and he finished him in the third round.
Second round,
Olympia area.
He is Marole.
Yeah, Marole. That's who he fought. And that
but
guy
he just,
was doing pretty good early on him, but then he just poured it on and finished him. But the fight should have, I mean, that was, if you look at it on paper, that's a big mismatch. But I guess with that cruising style, it works out to be a fight.
Maybe it's the thing, maybe with really like a guy like that, is that he fights up to his level of competition.
Yeah. That's true. I'd like to see. I want to see what he does with this fight. This was a tricky fight. Some people
who
think
has the better wrestling?
He's fighting Drew Brokenshire. Some people think he's going to smash him. I don't think anyone's going to smash anybody in that fight.
I'm honest with God right now. I'm going to tell you that I think that of guys not in UFC or Bellator, but are like the good, solid, local, regional pros right now, that Drew Brokenshire is the best 145er in Oregon, Washington, Idaho.
Wow.
I think he beats Lee Morrison.
Lee just beat
him? Today. Today.
Yeah. Well, maybe. He has improved a lot. I don't think he would. I think he's like number three or four. I think I have met.
Well, we just did the list.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had it at.
I'm going to tell you what you had it at. Don't worry, I don't think I forgot, son.
I'm sure you didn't. I know I had Lee first, and I had Ryan Mulvihill.
You had
second.
Lee, then you had Sterling Ford,
oh,
then Mulvihill,
right.
Then Brokenshire, then Alden Lee, then Daniel Swain, then Enoch, then Arosa. And I'm not even going to act like you put Scott McDonald in there. And then Johnny Gilbertson. Because once you listed Scott McDonald, I immediately put him at number one on my list.
I know. If he wanted to be in that class, he probably would be pretty high up that list.
I don't know. I just, man, I cannot wait for that kid to be unleashed on somebody else. But my 145-pound list went, I won't mention McDonald, who I put at number one. He's a bantamweight, everybody, so chill the fuck out if you're listening and wondering why we're talking about Scott McDonald. That's just what we think about this kid in about 3 minutes worth of work. That's the kind of fucking show this guy put on. But I went Morrison, Mulvihill, Brokenshire, Enoch, Swain, Arosa, Gilbertson, Ford. Oh, no, wait. Hold on. I forgot to put Sterling Ford. So I had Morrison, Mulvihill, Brokenshire, Wilson, Ford, Arosa, Alden Lee, Johnny Gilbertson.
Not bad.
No, and I think that the part I'm still wanting to see is Julian Arosa and Sterling Ford. I want somebody to make this shit fucking happen. And the first person that says they used to be teammates, I'm going to take my fucking size 12 and shove it right up your ass and tickle your tonsils.
We're trying to sign a fight right now that's not Julian Arosa against him, but it's, I don't know if it's signed yet or not. I don't know if I can... Well, I don't know.
Well, here, message it to me, and then I'll say something, and then that way you don't get in trouble.
Well, it's not a fight right now. It's just it's a possibility. It would be.
Well, don't say it. Nope. Don't say it. We don't want to do that. Let's just keep it. I think it might be better if we just not let the people in on that one yet.
Okay.
They don't need to know everything. We can talk about it after the show.
What do you think about that fight I just sent you? Interesting.
You need me to talk about it.
It's interesting.
That is actually very interesting.
And once that goes,
I'll be surprised if the first guy you listed accepts it.
Oh, no, they want it.
What?
Yep. Yep. They don't think much of, people don't think too much of the other guy. He, you know, he didn't do much lately. And judging by recent events, not taking it serious enough. So we'll see. I think that's what makes him less scary.
Man, I don't know about that. I think that's a bad matchup for guy number one. I think that's a bad matchup for guy number one.
Too much wrestler?
Yes.
But he's not a level wrestler that Lee is, though, so he might be able to handle it.
Yeah,
but...
I
want to see more Ryan Mulvihill.
Well, I just want to see more Ryan Mulvihill not in Hawaii.
I want to see him fighting in Washington. He's so improved.
You're the guy to make it happen, bro.
I'm trying. He's so booked up. Every time I've called him, he's got a fight already. So, got to defend that belt. So, every 3 months, he's going to Hawaii to defend his belt. He got 3 title defenses already. That's crazy. But he's so improved. He's such a gym rat and a worker, man. He's just really improved a lot. I think he's the most improved fighter in the last year by far. I don't know anybody in that even realm who's made progress like that. These one real titles. You know, that's a legit pro title. These guys are tough over
there. Dude, did you see the article, the write-up about him?
No.
That he posted from, like, the Hawaiian newspaper? It was really, I was pretty proud of the Yuhai bully.
Yeah. Speaking pretty highly of him?
Yeah.
You beat that many of their ass, so you got their respect, undoubtedly.
No, that's exactly what it said. Let me see here. I'll find this. It'll only take me 2 seconds. In the main event, we saw our featherweight champion Ryan Mulvihill from the mainland taking on Hawaii MMA legend Harrison Sarmiento. Though featherweight is not Sarmiento's ideal weight class, he wanted an opportunity to bring the belt back to the island. The giant of the MMA world entered this battle with no intentions of giving up, as was obvious when he got into trouble early in the first round. As the champ threatened with chokes, Sarmiento kept his cool and worked through the submission attempt, even ending up hovering above Mulvihill and raining down fists. But Mulvihill is the champion for a reason. He is tough, he is calculated, and he is a grinder. The man constantly works. It's incredible to see him in action. From submission to submission, from position to position, Ryan just never seems to stop working.
After three rounds, the judges saw it go the way of the champion, a man who has proven three times now that he is very deserving. All in all, there was no shortage of fantastic fights. Yada, yada, yada.
Wow. So, the grinder.
I still want to see Moby Hill La Rosa again. I think that's a whole different fight today.
So is Moby Hill Rokenshire. I'd like to see that one again. You didn't see that one. That was a Bell at the Bay. That was not even a reflection of Ryan Moby Hill at all. Zero. Nothing like him. I mean, it was like, it might as well have been me fighting him. It was just, he couldn't do anything. He just got owned. And that would not happen now. Be a way better fight.
Dude, what happened? Whatever happened to our buddy Dave Corshane?
I don't know. I messaged him earlier, and he I don't think he answered me. I don't think he's our buddy anymore. I think he's. You must have made him mad.
Who did?
It must have been you. Could have been me.
Me?
I don't know.
I'm trying to get him fights like on television for titles.
Me too. But easier said than done, I guess. So we should be getting a call here soon.
Really? Well, maybe what you should do is do a quick bill payment for Mikey Ruckus before we go into the second hour.
So
that people can understand the greatness of what we're telling them about.
Do that and play a couple commercials and try to find. I don't know if there's any Mike Ricks on here.
There should be.
I'll try to find something. Something.
Oh, I forget. We're on a different network nowadays. We sold
out. Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll talk about that. Okay, I'm going to play some shit.
I'm going to play some shit.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouthguards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clench Custom Mouthguards. Clench Custom Mouthguards fabricates custom mouthguards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouthguards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouthguard today at GetClench.com. Again, that's GetClench.com for all of your mouthguard needs.
Insanity at its finest. Firestar, Riot Maker, Moonstricken, Animal Need, Bad Seed, Untamable.
Everybody around me always think they know what's going on inside my mind. Think I'm just a nice guy all the time. How to tell diaries, you think you know, but you have no idea.
P.M.O., it's with me, let's make more growth. G.O.B., shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no-no. No, I'm a beast.
I can tell you're a woman's wanting for Donnie on the dance floor all the way in VIP.
I'm a rapper, I can catch her, and she will leave with me because I'm a statue. Now everybody move, everybody bounce, whoever the Nina choose, we about to pounce.
Work it out.
Having fun, ain't no one on my level. I turn left and I'm about to put the pedal to the metal. I like all money, tall money, no small money. You got to let technique tease your chakra. Species release, freaks please, the monster. Petite beast feast, these bees will rock ya. Stand tough for hush when I'm buster. Rhymes that I crush ya, homie, don't be a sucker. When your love but they take she's trying to say that she left you for another.
PMO, it's with me, let's make more growth. We will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no, no, no. Cause I'm a king. PMO, it's with me, let's make more growth. We will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no, no, no. Cause I'm a king.
You're really weak, whack, funny like a wallaby. But I'm hot and now I'm getting me where I oughta be. Squalor be harder, we need dollars camaraderie. The hotter the salary, the larger the lottery. Me, Gen, Pins, Twins, gotta succeed. Ben, G's, Ben, Franks. We dream, cheese in banks. Breathe through, we win banks. Hungry like the wolf in need, but I give money to my need. I live in Sherman Oaks, but from Kansas City. I miss home, Cali is business, but man, it's pretty. I ain't lying, y'all. Monster for money for mine, y'all. If I wasn't getting money, I wouldn't shine, dog. You never see the nine-fall big house. Wood floors made clean in the kitchen with pine saw.
me. Behold the flow of the century. But they're scared of me. Rappers, they don't compare to me. Fair to be sad that he dares to be sincerely a rarity. Check the sound scan. Look around, man. Wake up, look at your Jacob, you and you. Clown land. Face paint and wicked chickens be strutting what? And we rock it for the ditty women in the button up. Hands down, we rock harder than kids. But rap be cutting crystal. Can I get two stumps and a clap in this beer? Need a shot to the top, cause the plot's to get rich, tell ya. Executives, I'm next for this. Success it is, yes, the best protect. This ain't whack, just hit his hop till I rest with it. This is a beast, baby, out, I mean exodus.
Not Mikey Ruckus. There's no Mikey Ruckus on here. But
weird. Skippy's gonna have to fix that, or else.
Yeah, well, I know how to do it. I should have done it. But hopefully we'll hear from our guest anytime. Anytime I see she's online. So I'm gonna send her a message.
Dude, hey, did you hear about Lyle's fight last night?
No. What happened?
I don't know.
Yeah,
let's see if I can figure it out real quick.
I'm pretty sure I know what happened. But I'm pretty sure.
Oh, dude, ZST is tonight.
Yeah. What is?
Yeah. ZST. Zeitgeist.
Lyle Beerbaum defeats Wesley Golden by rear naked choke in 3:28 of round one.
Man, I really wish he was going to be able to fight Eddie Ellis.
Yeah, I talked to Eddie Ellis earlier, by the way, and he did not lose a tooth. Woo!
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah, he did break his
jaw.
So,
what was it? Was it a kick that broke his jaw?
I don't know. When she said he didn't lose a tooth, I didn't hear anything after that. I was screaming and doing backwards.
Dude, I've never broke my jaw. But I can't imagine what it's like to fight for about 12 minutes with a broken fucking jaw. Do you got to have fucking balls the size of the watermelons, bro?
It would be so hard. Because it hurts really, really bad. I can't imagine then taking shots. Even just the blood pressure part of it. Just having your blood pressure up during that would just suck.
So yeah, because you're just
so
feeling it the whole time.
Strong. Yeah, you gotta be super strong.
Eddie Ellis is a pimp. Yeah, I think he wins that fight with Lyle Beerbaum if it were to happen.
Could be. All right, she asked for the number, so I think she's calling. Oh, this is probably her, I'm guessing. Been here for 11 seconds.
Good, how are you guys?
Good,
how are you? Just so everybody knows,
good.
We got Julie Paney on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, she says, yeah. Hey, man, how's everything going? How's the weather in Spokane?
Everything's going good. I wouldn't know. I'm not in Spokane. I'm actually in Boise, Idaho right now.
Holy mackerel, what the hell's going on in Boise? Are you down there training with Scott Jorgensen or something?
No, I was going to stop by, what's his name? No, I'm not down here training. I'm actually here for a fashion show. I walked the runway on Saturday night, and I'm here with some of my sponsors, Rhino Rush. And so they're here showing me a good time, and I catch a plane back to Spokane tomorrow morning.
What is more stressful, walking to the cage or walking the runway?
I think, man, the pressure was like the same because I felt like my heart was in my throat, and I was really nervous. I had never walked the runway before, And so I would, I don't know, I think walking to the cage is definitely more nerve-wracking. But walking the runway was equally as scary. I fell out of my shoe on the way back, so it was pretty embarrassing. But nobody noticed, so it was good.
Did you just leave the shoe there and keep moving?
No, I just kind of stomped in my shoe as hard as I could to keep, put my foot back in and just kept walking.
That's awesome. So was it overall a good experience, something that we'll be seeing you do more of in the future?
I don't know about that, but it was definitely a good experience. I had a good time doing that.
Wow.
It was a lot easier once I got it over and done with, but I had to, like, pound two rhino rushes before I could actually walk on the stage, and that was a bad idea because they're so strong. And so I felt like I was, like, having a heart attack.
It doesn't help nerves, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it just made it worse, I think.
What is Rhino Rush?
It's an hydro-powered energy drink. It's like an energy shot drink. But, you know, Ephedra got banned from the FDA, but not the the extract. It's the first energy shot drink with the ephedra extract in it, and I'm telling you, you can only drink like half at a time because this stuff just gets you jacked, gets you wired.
Where can you get them?
But it's really good. Yeah, you can buy them at a lot of stores. They're everywhere, and I don't know, you should check out their website, and actually I'll send you some or something like that, because I got a ton. They give me so much of it, and it's really good. It tastes like grape, and it's super smooth and tasty, and I love it.
What's their website?
A bigger rush. Drinking a Rhino Rush or finishing Shayna Baszler?
Finishing Shayna Baszler, easy.
How cool was that?
It was pretty awesome. My favorite part, I have three favorite parts of the fight. First part was just socking her in the face in round one. Even though she took me down, I wish I would have like stuffed her head and snuck my leg out, you know, and I could have maybe won the round with that, but it was just so awesome just like socking her right in the face. Second part, the favorite part of the fight is when there's blood dripping from her nose when I'm tapping her out, which is my third favorite part of the fight is when she taps.
See, that's so interesting to me because most people be like, my favorite part was when she tapped. And you're like, that's my third favorite part. My first favorite part was when I punched her in the mouth.
Yeah. It was like just straight getting like donkey punched right in the face. It was awesome. You can hear it. But like, even if you can't hear it, I know in my head, and even when I was fighting, how hard and like, it was bad. It was brutal. It was like street fight type hits. It was awesome.
Well, you hit really hard, so I'm sure it was nasty.
Yeah.
Were you aware of with all the shit talking going on? You know,
excuse me. No, I had no idea.
So that she doesn't deserve to be in here with me. She should be taking my seminar. So you should take her seminar.
No, I'm having a seminar September 27th in Wenatchee, and somebody should get her an invite, because she needs to go.
I'll send her one. I'll send her an invite.
I'm just kidding.
When she dropped the Queen of Spades in your sports bra, did you want to drop her right there?
No,
that part didn't make me mad. What made me mad was my reaction to it. I wish I would have took it out and, you know, ripped it up in a bunch of pieces and threw it in her face. Or after we fought, I wish I would have had, you know, a spade card so I could stuff it down her bra. You know, I mean, there's so many things that I wish I would have done, but I didn't, because I don't know. It's not my style. So whatever. We're gonna have to get in a fist fight either way. So people can have their gimmicks and all that jazz, but at the end of the day, you know, it's me and her and we're going to war, so whatever. May the best woman win.
Your gimmick was beating her ass. Here's a gimmick for you. That's all your gimmick is beating her ass. You don't need a playing card. She saw what she got. That was such a cool thing to see. Such a big, I mean, I know how you are a little bit, and you haven't always been the most confident in where you're at in your game and what you're ready for. And boy, I hope that's changed because you sure already. That was so cool to see you. Just man, coming so hard.
Yeah, I think that that's one thing about the show that helped me as far as my game goes is just being more confident in myself as a fighter, you know.
Yeah.
Before
like
I was
always
questioning myself and you know, wondering this or that or how I should react and, you know, how I should be as a fighter. And I was always worried about, you know, my performance or how I'm going to win or just stepping in the cage, you know. But when you get a win like that, I mean, and you put a performance on like that, there's absolutely not a doubt in my mind. You know, I deserve to be in that cage. And
yeah.
I deserve to be fighting against the top-level girls in the world. So I think I showed that, and I think that's where I should be. That's where I should be fighting. If it wasn't for many serious injuries that have held me back in the past, you know, I would, in my mind, already be signed with the UFC.
Yeah, if trees didn't randomly fall on you, and, you know.
What?
That's
hold
a,
on.
A good
let's
story.
Talk about
this.
A tree randomly fell on you?
Running into a tree and the tree falling on you. That is crazy.
No. I was walking down on the sidewalk downtown
right.
Like five days before my fight against Lauren Taylor. And I was the designated driver for my girlfriends. You know, you shouldn't be out downtown anyway the week before your fight. But I promised them I would be the designated driver. And some guys came around the corner in their car, and they were catcalling me, and I wasn't really paying attention. And they ended up jumping the curb and hitting a tree and hitting me, and they ran me over. And about 10 days later, even though I had a broken nose, I took a fight against Sarah Morass up a weight class. And she dislocated my arm and I didn't tap. And then after that, I took another loss against Deanna Bennett. I cut 23 pounds in 10 days, took a fight on 10 days and suffered another loss. You know, I think that those losses taught me a lot. And they humbled me for sure. That's a fact. But beating Shayna Baszler and just being on the show in general, it just taught me to be, you know, I have just as good a chance to beat this girl as she does me. You know, every dog has its day, and you know, either way, I'm gonna bring the fight no matter what. So they're gonna be in for a fight no matter what. So you know,
most of them have the camp behind them that you do. I think your camp is insane. You have such good training partners and stuff that, I mean, men or women, you got lots of people to punch in the face that are really high level. It's got to really have helped your game, I would think.
Yeah, it's funny. I came back from the show and, you know, training partner's like, you did so good, you know, like we're so proud of you that you made it on the show. And I was like, thanks, guys. I didn't think that I was going to make it, you know. And they're like, that's the problem with you. Like, what's your problem? Everybody knows it but you. It's like, they're like, you know, finally I was like, yeah, I did it. And they're like, thank you. Finally, you admit it for once, you know. They're like, we all knew it. We were just waiting for you to know it, you know. So it's good to have great training partners that, you know, support you and have your back like you. And we push each other, you know. And I'm just so blessed and grateful to have such a great team.
Were you surprised that Rhonda picked you for the first fight?
No. From rewatching the episode, Shayna had said that they were going to take out Misha's number one pick no matter what, whoever it was. So it seems to me that that was Rhonda's strategy. I didn't think that I was going to be first. But then again, I didn't think I was going to be picked first either. So, I don't know. I guess that's just the dynamic of the show.
Wow.
The day you walked out, how relieved were you to walk out of that house?
The day I walked out of the house, like after it was done filming?
Yeah, like when everything was said and done, you know, like when you walked out, did you feel like there was a lot of stress or pressure, like lifted off your shoulders maybe?
Absolutely, yeah. I was the first person out of the house. You know, they said, okay, once you pack your bags, you guys are free to go. And I had my bag packed in the truck ready to go. I was rallying around the house. They said, you can't leave. We need at least three more people ready to go with you at the same time. I was, like, jumping in other people's bags, tossing all their stuff in there, like, freaking let's get out of here, you know? So once we got in that van and then took off, I was ecstatic, and it was definitely a weight lifted off my shoulders. But then, like, once I got back to real life and, like, started having to deal with the stressors of my normal day life, I was kind of like, oh, man, living in the house wasn't that bad. I kind of want to go back. I don't have to worry about anybody else, and I can just, like, focus on myself and eat, like, the best food in the world and train with the best people in the world every day. You know, it actually wasn't as bad as, you know, I was making it out to be on the show. But I think that just the stress of not being able to communicate with your people was probably the roughest thing that I had to deal with.
Who did you miss the most that you couldn't talk to while you were in the house?
My sisters and my mom and my dad and my training partners and just my gym in general. But I miss my sisters a lot. I wrote a lot to my sisters. I wrote in my journal notes to my sisters that I still haven't even given to them because I'm too embarrassed. But at the time, I was just like, I was so missing them, especially because I got in a fight with them, a little tiff right before I left, you know, so we weren't, you know, they were happy for me, but they're like, ah, that little brat, you know, and so I kind of left on a sour note, so I'd cry all the time about how I left my sisters and stuff like that, so I really missed them.
Are you youngest, oldest, in the middle?
I'm the youngest, yeah, I'm the baby of four.
So did you get picked on a lot growing up, and does that help you in the cage?
Absolutely, yeah. I have three older siblings, and they beat the tar out of me, and I have a lot of cousins, and they beat me up as well, so I was always at the tail end of a lot of beatings, and that definitely made me tough, and it definitely helped me grow up to be an aggressive girl that didn't take any crap from anybody.
When was the first time you beat up one of your sisters, and do you remember it, and were you super excited, or did you feel bad?
Never, and that's the thing about it, is because they always beat me up, and I would always think in my head, I could just kill this girl right now. But because I knew that I could go, like, buck wild on them, I didn't. Because I was like, I know that I could kill her, but I'm, like, not going to. You know, like, you don't want to do it because then you'd feel sorry for them because you know you just kicked the crap out of them. So you just kind of, like, turn the other cheek and walk away type of deal.
Wow. See, I'd beat the shit out of Jeff. I wouldn't even think twice about it. I'd do a backflip afterwards.
Yeah, well, they didn't think twice about beating me up, that's for sure.
I just have to make sure that his AARP was all up to date so that his senior
oh,
citizen...
Oh, fuck you and your AARP. I'm not that old, asshole.
He'll still give you a run for your money.
I'm 42. Bring it on, little man. Big man, whatever you are.
Sounds like he has short man syndrome over there.
Yeah.
No.
No, he's actually not short. He's tall. I just, you know, looking for an insult and it wasn't the right one.
So you guys were talking to Peggy tonight?
She didn't call.
Well, we were going to, but we had some miscommunication apparently, and we weren't able to talk to Peggy. But I've talked to Peggy before, and she is a freaking riot.
Yeah.
She's actually, she wants one of her sponsors to be, check this out, Julie. She found this place called poopsenders.com where you can, like, send people, like, 5 gallons of elephant shit, and it'll show up on their front porch.
Real shit.
Are you kidding?
Real stuff. Yeah.
And what's the website called?
Poopsenders.com.
Oh, I'm going to check that out ASAP. I definitely have a couple people that I want that to go to.
What's one of the friendships that you made on the show that you will carry on, like, for a very long time?
Probably Chris Holdsworth and Roxanne Modafferi. I feel like she was the nicest and got along great. And Holdsworth was just an all-around super cool guy. And we still talk. I mean, we talk every other day, if not every day. So, I mean, he's a totally cool dude. And Roxanne's a great girl. and super nice. And so I'll probably still talk to those people.
So what did you think about what Chris had to say kind of in the last episode?
I was mortified.
Did he, hear about that?
Absolutely embarrassed.
Did he hear about that in the phone calls maybe the day after that episode aired? Were you like, what the fuck were you saying this shit for? The whole enchilada, you little bastard?
No, he just apologized over and over. He called me up and was like, you're going to hate me. And I'm like, why you send me the episode right now to me? And, oh, God, I just died. I literally wish I had the power to, like, burn the episode so nobody ever saw it. So far, I hate episode 3.
I was like, I'm thinking to myself, dude, you fucking idiot. You're on the television. This shit is being recorded. Like, you sitting here saying, maybe she wants my enchilada, is gonna make the TV. That's not gonna cause out any.
Well, what's really funny is that I made everybody enchiladas. So it wasn't like some, like, you know, love enchilada or anything like that. Like, I made the whole house enchiladas and everybody ate them. And I did everybody's dishes on top of that. And I made food several times that a lot of people ate. And I'm like, why are they so mean to me? I make them food. I do their dishes. Like, what's the deal? You know, I didn't understand, but I don't know. I guess people don't like when you feed them and do their dishes. I don't know.
Hey, you know, I've been looking for roommates like that my whole life.
What about roommates?
I've been looking for roommates like that my whole life.
Oh, exactly. See, there you go. Somebody will appreciate it one day.
Shit, I'm telling you right now, man, if I had somebody that was willing to do the dishes, I would cook every day.
Yeah,
I love cooking. I hate doing dishes. I feel the same way.
What's your favorite thing to cook that's not enchiladas?
Lasagna. I love lasagna.
Oh, I was like, what the hell was that? all meat, all cheese?
No, meat, cheese. I'm not picky. You see me, I'll eat whatever.
Now, with, damn it. How did I just have a brain freeze right there? Do you think that the coming in on the 2 losses is what allowed a lot of these people to overlook you, besides maybe Misha?
Probably.
Because I made a lot of money.
Probably, but I think that if they would have, A, seen the 2 losses, the fights of them, and B, understood the terms and conditions under which I took those fights, then no, they wouldn't be as they wouldn't have overlooked me at all, because both of those fights were wars. One of them was a hometown decision, and I had cut so much weight. And the other one, I was in no position to be taking a fight up a weight class and on short notice. So I think
I
that they would
have
realized, and if they would have known, you know, that I didn't tap or give up or anything like that, I don't think that they would have overlooked me at all.
I was surprised to see you taking a fight before at 125.
You were surprised I haven't?
You had. Because wasn't your fight with
Deanna? No. I've fought several times at 25.
Are you going back there to 25 in the future?
Yeah, hopefully.
Seems natural.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it rough to get there, or is it not too bad?
You know, it's not too bad. If I have a proper amount of time to diet and to cut down, it's not bad. When I fought at 25 the last time, I cut two pounds. Holy cow, I don't even think I cut like a full 2 pounds. You know, I woke up on weight pretty much, and I was on point. But for the second loss, you know, I took it on 10 days, and I had just, like, given up on MMA at that point. After I lost my first one, man, I thought I was going to quit and never come back. And, you know, I was depressed, and I hid under a rock and died and got fat and was on the couch, and I got thrown into a fight, not by my choice. And so I guess I was like, oh, okay, I guess I got to cut 23 pounds in 10 days and go get in a fist fight. Cool. So, I mean, it was just like, whatever, just go with the flow kind of thing. So I wasn't prepared for it at all, but had I been prepared, I believe I would have won that fight, and I believe that I wouldn't have had as tough as a weight cut. I think that the weight cut and elevation change had a lot to do with that loss.
Elevation change, where was it?
It was in Orem, Utah.
Oh, snap.
Can you tell a big difference when you go into that environment? Can you really tell the difference?
Or is it more? I think so. And I think maybe I think I maybe listened to people too much too, because I wasn't concerned about the elevation change, but everybody else was, and they're like, oh, I don't think you're going to be used to the elevation change. Everyone in Utah kept saying that too to me before the fight, and I'm like, whatever, you guys are lame. And then I lost, and I'm like, oh yeah, it was the elevation change for sure. But I'm full of shit, so I lost fair and square. I lost fair and square, bottom line. If ands or buts about it, I fucking lost.
Which loss would you like to maybe vanquish first and foremost?
Deanna Bennett, absolutely.
That's one you just shouldn't have lost?
The second loss there when I cut to 25. Yeah, I'd fight that girl any day, anytime, any place, anywhere. I'll fight any girl any day, anytime, any place, anywhere. But
nice.
But that one for sure still haunts me, absolutely.
You think having Misha as a training partner before the show helped you, having someone at that level that's trying to punch you in the face and trying to kick your ass every day?
Yeah.
Helped?
Yeah, I mean, we were training before her fight against Kat Zingano, and I was over there trying to kill her too, you know. So I definitely think that helped.
How surprised were you to see
Misha
and
you get her when she's tired? What's that like? You find yourself, do you take it easy on her because she's your buddy, or do you just lay it on her?
That's when I become really confident. This is what I do. I stick the girls on her, and I say, get her, kill her, get her tired. And then once she gets tired, I'm like, my turn.
Who are you more successful against, Brian or Misha?
As far as grappling goes?
Yeah.
Neither. They're freaking honey badgers. They kick my ass.
Danny, I'm sure you hold your own.
No, Brian can tap me like 20 times in 10 seconds. I don't understand
He's really good.
He's a total technician.
Ronda will kick his ass. Like, Ronda will not kick his ass. I don't care what you say. Ronda's not kicking Brian Caraway's ass. No way.
No, he'll toss her ass in the kitchen and tell her to make him a sandwich. Right on her big head.
Yeah. Hey, so of the fights to get in the house, which one surprised you the most by the outcome?
I think Shayna Baszler versus Colleen Schneider.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Part of me was most surprised by Roxanne beating Tara, but I also haven't been impressed by Tara in like 3 or 4 fights, so I wasn't that shocked.
Yeah, Tara lost to Sarah Marais. Tara was running her mouth too before that fight. Oh God, if I get chosen on Misha Tate's team, I'm gonna hang myself from the lights. And I was like, girl, you gotta get past Marass's ass first. And she like zipped it shut up, stood up straight and was like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm telling you right now, you got to get past Marass first.
You know how tough she
is. Were you surprised to see Misha walk in and not Kat?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You look pretty
happy. I was shocked. I was beyond shocked.
Do you think you were more shocked than Rhonda, or was Rhonda more shocked than you?
I think I was more shocked than well, I don't know. I think me and Rhonda were both equally as shocked.
You looked a lot happier than her.
No, I was, absolutely. The thing is that, like, before the show, I found out that Rhonda was going to be coaching, so I kept calling Cody McKenzie, hey, call Rhonda, tell her I want to be on her team, tell her I want to be on her team, you know, don't forget, tell Rhonda, tell her I want to be on her team. After that, I met her at Misha's fight against Kat Zingano, and so when Misha lost, I knew that Kat was going to be on the season as a coach. And so I told Kat, I met Rhonda for the first time, and I said, hey, I'm going to be trying out for the Ultimate Fighter. You know, I really want you to pick me on your team. So she was like, perfect, okay. So then during the show, like when we all got there, I saw her again. I'm like, Rhonda, what's up? Dude, don't forget, pick me on your team. Well, then I see Misha, and I'm like, oh, what? I've been pumping this girl up the whole time, telling her to pick me, and now Misha's here. This is a total conflict of interest, you know? Like, it was really hard for me because, you know, I obviously it's more comfortable being with somebody that already knows your game and knows you as a fighter. And I still would have liked to have been on Rhonda's team to learn some new tricks and stuff like that, but at the same time, you know, I just know that right when Rhonda saw Misha give me a hug, it was over for me. And Rhonda admitted to me that I was the last pick on her list, and she had no intention of picking me whatsoever. And that she, excuse me, she didn't trust me with the knowledge that she was going to be giving her team. And because I know Misha, she wasn't going to trust me with that. So she chose me last on her list. And that's fine. I understand that, you know. But you know, when you know somebody, you know, you'd rather be with the person that you know. And then Rhonda even asked me, hey, you know, I see that you know Misha. Whose team do you want to be on? And I kind of was like, well, you know, you're the coach. You can choose. You can decide. And she decided to not pick me. And Misha got first pick anyways, so... It all worked out in the end.
What was it like?
Were you shocked to be in the first pick?
Yep.
How did it feel when I noticed in the tryouts, I was looking through the pictures of the tryouts, and you know, a lot of the pictures, it's you and Gina, because, you know, she's from the Northwest, you are. I'm sure you trained at Ivan's together before, maybe. And it just seemed like you was almost like she's the one person there that you really knew, and then you end up having to kick her ass.
No, I'd never knew Gina before. What I knew from Gina is that she was supposed to fight my training partner, Elizabeth Phillips. And the fight didn't happen for whatever reason. And so that's all I knew from her. And I didn't know how she fought or anything like that. I knew she was a really strong girl, though. And when we met and we talked, she actually has the same exact birthday that I do, except she's 1 year older. And so we kind of bonded over that. We kept calling each other twins and stuff like that. But when they called us out to fight, I was, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, I wasn't expecting to fight her at all. And the one friend that I did have was Colleen Schneider. And because I had stayed with her for about a week and a half before the tryouts. And she's been a really great friend to me. And yeah, when she didn't make it in the house, I mean, I was heartbroken.
Well, you laid a whooping on Gina. Ooh, wow, she looked rough.
Yeah, it was really sad though, because like the generators were going out in the TUF gym, in the Ultimate Fighter gym, and so like right as I was like starting to like lay a beating, there was like the lights started dimming out, and so like the lights got like significantly darker right when I started like putting a beating on her. And in my head, I was thinking, this must be for TV. Maybe they're dimming the lights so it doesn't look as brutal, you know. And she told me that when the lights started dimming, that she thought she was going out. And she was like, oh, my God, I'm blacking out, you know. And I thought that they were just doing it so it didn't look as brutal. But she, I guess the generator lights were just messed up.
That's funny. She looks bad.
Julie, what was it that got you into the fight game?
You know, I never knew what MMA was or what a UFC fight was or anything like that, but my sister invited me to Sick Jitsu for a cardio kickboxing class, and I was encouraged to stay afterwards. I remember the very first day I showed up to Sick Jitsu for the cardio kickboxing, Rick wasn't there, and this girl was teaching the class, and I was like, oh, cool, you know, I'm taking a cardio kickboxing class from this girl. Well, second time that I went, Rick was there, and he actually had me do this drill against the instructor that I was teaching the week before. And it was whoever gets their shoulder blade put up against the mat loses. And so he had me go against his instructor girl, and I put her shoulders up against the wall, and I was like, what? This is the instructor. Like, how did I, like, she's teaching the class. She's strong. Like, how did I, you know, she's been doing this. Like, how did I put her shoulders up against the wall, you know? And Rick showed me how to punch, and he was like, who taught you how to punch? And I was like, you did. Just right now, you know, and he's like, that's incredible, you're such a fast learner. And they encouraged me to stay for the MMA classes after the cardio kickboxing, and I did, and the rest is history. I feel like they always say, you know, find what you love to do, find what makes you happy, find your passion, and when you find that, it won't feel like work. It will just feel like the thing that you love to do. So when I found MMA, I was like, this is my thing. You know, I tried to wrestle in middle school and in high school, and my father held me back and the schools held me back. They didn't want a girl wrestling on their team. And so when I found MMA, I was like, this is my thing. This is what I should have been doing a long time ago. And I wasn't going to let anybody hold me back anymore. I was graduated from school, and I knew that was the thing that I needed to be doing. And I haven't looked back since. It's absolutely consumed my life.
Do you bust your dad's balls about not letting you wrestle in high school now?
I don't bust his balls about it because I understand. He's a very traditional Latin man, and fighting is completely unladylike. And I understand
that. But
it's
really hot.
Yeah, well, when you're like the baby of four, you know, you don't want to see your daughter getting punched in the face. You know, it's just not his style. So I understand it. But he was a wrestler, so, I mean, I don't know why they're sitting there scratching their head being like, where did this come from? You know, my mom's a total firecracker. He's a firecracker. I mean, between the two of them, they're completely nuts. And so I'm like, why are you guys so surprised?
Are both your parents Latin American?
Yeah, my dad is from Venezuela, and my mom is born in New Mexico. But her parents are from Mexico, and, well, actually, her father's from Mexico, and her mother's from Colorado, but her mother's Mexican and Kiowa Indian. And my grandfather's Mexican, so it makes my mom Mexican. So I'm Kiowa Indian, Mexican, and Venezuelan.
Interesting. Makes for a great background. And it explains that, like, spicy attitude that you have, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a crazy, crazy brown girl.
So now, once in a while we talk to Dave Corsain. He doesn't believe in brown-on-brown crime. Where are you at in brown-on-brown crime? And when I say crime, like, in, he doesn't like to beat up other brown people in the cage. He would prefer to beat up white people or black people.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. It's like, I don't want to hurt my kind. You know, I'd rather fight a white girl.
What is the sessions that you and Elizabeth have at Sick Jitsu like?
What is our training sessions like?
Yeah, are they pretty? I mean, we, you know, me and Jeff, we know about Elizabeth. She's very talented. Obviously, you know, she's looking to climb that ladder in a similar fashion to as yourself. How long until you see her making that kind of a step?
Not long at all. I think that it'll happen within a year, if not a couple of years. You know, I think that she definitely has what it takes, and she's got the mindset for it. She's extremely gifted as a natural athlete, natural born killer like myself. And, you know, she's got the right mentality, and she's not a quitter. And so I definitely see her fighting in the UFC, and I can't wait to see what I can do to help that, to make sure that that happens, you know. I'm trying to help my girl out, so if I go to the top, she's coming with me.
Awesome.
What fight, when you look back, not including the Ultimate Fighter situation, what fight do you look back on in your career before that happened and you say, man, that's my favorite fight? That's the fight that, like, you sit there sometimes when you're, like, on the patio and you're, like, thinking about your fight career and you're like, yeah, that one.
Probably my fight against Stephanie Weber, Misha Tate's old training partner. You know, me and Misha have had a long past, and I remember she came to my gym telling me, you're awesome, you throw bombs, I have a great fight for you, you know, you're totally going to win. And then, like, I showed up to the fight, and it was, like, her girl. She was, like, cornering against me, and I'm like, wait a second, you're not supposed to be cornering against me, what are you doing, you know? And I fought her training partner, and I beat her in the second round via armbar. I wasn't expecting that, and that girl didn't make weight. And she was tough, so I was just – it was a good win. You know, even though me and Misha are cool now, it was good at the time because she had talked a lot of smack because the girl didn't make weight, so we took, like, $100 from her purse. So Misha got on her social media and was like, I hate this girl. I can't wait to see her get her ass kicked tomorrow night. She wrote on there, I'll never lift a finger to help this girl out in MMA ever, you know. And so when I won that fight, I was like, in your face, Misha. You know, I was really happy.
Nice.
But I'm just happy about that fight because I finished it. And because I feel like the odds were stacked against me. But funny enough, Misha was telling that girl the same thing, too. She was like, you throw bombs, you're going to win this fight. And so it was pretty funny.
Right on. Well, I know that we kind of kidnapped you for a little bit extra longer than what we originally planned, Julie. And we really
That's
appreciate
okay.
taking the time to join us. But why don't you give a shout-out to
Absolutely.
All your sponsors, let people know how they can find you on social media, and take a run at it real quick.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to thank Josh Swenson with Rhino Rush. It's a great product. It's my favorite energy drink. I want to thank Jim Hansen. He has been my number one supporter, my number one biggest fan. He believed in me when no one believed in me from day one. I absolutely love and adore him. And I want to thank Mark Gatlin from Discount Lumber. I want to thank Tom Guthrie and Kim Guthrie from Spikes, Phillies, and More. They're great bosses. It's a great establishment to work for. I want to thank Sick Jitsu and Rick Whittle. He raised me from a baby calf. He raised me from a babe. And he taught me everything I know, so I want to thank Rick. And I want to thank all of my supporters. You know, if you got my back, I got your back. If you support me, I support you. If you love me, I love you, you know. So get behind me, you know. I'm a great fighter, and I lay it out all on the line every time. And I think that I have a heart of a champion. So you can find me on Facebook at JNPena1 at Facebook.com. You can like my Facebook fan page. It's called Juliana the Venezuelan Vixen Pena. I have an Instagram. It's at Venezuelan Vixen. And my Twitter is at Venezuelan Vixen as well. So you can follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, like my Facebook fan page, shoot me an email, whatever. Whatever's clever.
What's the best thing on the menu at the restaurant?
My favorite thing is the Spikes Classic Beef Philly with provolone and cheese whiz. Add bacon with
Add a girl.
A cup. Yeah, with they have really good soup. And then I love the JoJo's. They got good JoJo's.
Dude, I like the fact that you incorporate the cheese whiz onto your Philly because that is a mandatory. And the fact that you mix it with the provolone, I think you're super smart for that.
Well, dude, you can't have a Philly without cheese whiz or else it's not a real Philly.
Exactly.
I know these things. I fight at 135 for a reason.
Nuggets of knowledge from Julie Pena.
Yeah.
Can't have a Philly without cheese whiz.
That's right.
Awesome.
It's not
Julie,
a Philly.
Hey,
it's not a Philly without the whiz.
That's right. That's
thanks
right.
For
we
having
really
me,
appreciate
guys.
It. Hey, no, we really do anytime, and hopefully we'll have you back on here here soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for having me, you guys. Have a good night.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye. Dude, cool. Who'd have thought she's a Philly steak with cheese whiz girl? Nobody. That's the kind
cool
of information
done.
We get out of people, man.
Yeah. It was a good interview. It's good, pretty cool.
No, man, she seems really relaxed, man. She's really, you know, very polite, respectful.
Yep.
You know, just like most people we talk to.
If she was not this confident before, not even close. Just a year ago,
really?
I'm like, being evicted now. You should be there now. They kept sending messages every time they're asking for matchups. They kept putting her on there. And she's like, oh, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready. Yeah, I think you're ready.
Sometimes, you know, it's kind of like I remember when I was a kid, man. The first time I went and jumped off some rocks into a river, I stepped up to the ledge, and I stood there, and I kind of just looked and looked and looked. And then my dad just had to shove me off. And then once he shoved me off, like, I had that confidence that I could just do it on my own, you know? And sometimes
yeah.
That's what some people need, and it kind of sounds like that's maybe what the Ultimate Fighter did for Julie. And if that's what it took, you know, more power to her because she put on one hell of a show the other night. Are you there?
Oh, sorry. Hit a button. Yeah, she did. Technology. I got to mess up once the show at least, and we're almost out of time, so I had to do it real quick.
What did you... Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's okay.
It's a record. I can't ruin a record. You know? It's like just getting something right that many times in a row is the same as getting it wrong that many times in a row.
There you
right?
go. There's another one. I don't know what you said.
It didn't make sense. If you knew what I said, then... That wouldn't be good. Right.
Dude, so, yeah, I mean, you know, what I think it'll be interesting, you know, Spokane conceivably could have three champions by the end of 2018.
It's crazy.
And you would say that. I can tell you right now, since I've, you know, since forever, I would have never thought Spokane would be a hotbed for that.
No. I was going over there to fights and fighting over there when long before it was there was the Ultimate Fighter, and to know that all that came out of there, it's crazy. A lot of people from AKA fought a lot of people from Sikitsu.
Now, what usually happened in those fights?
It depends where the fight was. If it was here, then usually the guys over here won, and if it was over there, then probably their guys won. Well, no. It's probably pretty even, but over here, they won more here. The guys here won more. Over there, it was pretty even. But it was almost like
just,
a neutral ground at a casino, and it was put on by somebody who wasn't from the area at all.
If the wrong guy was going to win, he'd...
Are you there?
Jeff? Yeah.
Yeah. You I couldn't hear anything what you said.
Jeff?
Are you there?
You're, dude, trying to set a new record for most, like, me in a 12-minute span. I'm glad you waited till after Julie was off and not during the first hour. Dude, I just saw Lex Luger on my television, and talk about the dude. He is so much smaller today than he was 15 years ago when he was at his prime, hitting people with the torture rack. Holy mackerel, I couldn't even believe it was him. That was unbelievable. But, you know, back to what we were talking about. I really don't even know since Jeff is, like, in and out. I forgot what he was saying. But, you know, we had a great show. That was Julie Payne. If you guys want to train with her, head over to Spokane, hit it up.
I've been talking 10 minutes, you can't hear me. Why does this have to keep being some, like, lion you can put on? It's like, who said this? Again. Oh, man.
Dude, I'm not making that up. I'm like, now you just, like, showed up, like, halfway through my sentence.
No apples during the show. It's new policy.
For you? I don't have a problem.
I know.
I just use my volcano. It's all great. You know?
You don't have to do anything but sit there and talk, though. I have to, like, make this connect to other people.
Dude, it's okay now. I won't out how really easy that is, but you just hit a button. So calm down.
Well, it's actually my mouse key. I don't even really have to hit a button. I just have to hit the mouse.
Exactly. You know, you like do a little left click, and it's all good. Oh yeah, but back to what we're saying. I never really thought that Spokane would be like some hotbed for tough champions, but you know, they got. I don't know. Do people consider Cody McKenzie to be from Spokane since he's really from Washington? Or I mean, Alaska.
Yeah, he's a Spokane guy. He was fighting. I was told he's going back to Alaska. He's not going to fight anymore. He's going to he can make more money fishing in Alaska. That's what he's going to do. So I don't know if there's truth to that, but I wouldn't surprise
me. He's not going to fight anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe he's like been there, done that kind of thing. He's not making as much money there as he could not being there. And I don't know. Maybe it's just not his thing. He's a different cat, you know. You can tell when you see him.
Dude, I think he's still under contract.
Is he? Are you sure? He may be. It might just be his intentions of when he's done. But he's not the same Spokane. It'd be hard to, I don't know. He's a different guy.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, I think he has one fight left. Because isn't usually the Ultimate Fighter winner gets a 6-fight contract, right?
No, it was a number. I thought the only number was the dollar amount.
100,000? Oh, then he could be done. Because, because that's where it gets tricky. Because, you know, he makes 20 for his fights. And but that's because he's got a 10K, right?
You know he didn't win the show, right? He didn't win.
Huh?
He didn't win the show. He wasn't the tough champion. He was on tough. He made it to the fight before the fight, but he didn't make it to the end. He fought on the finale.
Oh, that was the season Brookins won, wasn't it?
Yeah, he didn't win. But it's a season where, you know, McKenzie teamed everybody, even when they knew it was coming. Didn't do anything about it.
How the hell did I think that he won that?
And I was wondering when he kept saying 3 champions and thinking, well, who's the other one? I'm thinking you need to adopt my Apple policy.
No, I'm not adopting any Apple policy, bro. You don't want me without Apple policy.
It's true. I barely want you with him. It's true.
My ADD would I would never shut up. Like, rather than take Ritalin, I have apples.
That's gotta be a good thing.
Ritalin does to me, like, if I did like 4 lines of coke, that's what like taking Ritalin is to me.
Well, it's an amphetamine. That's what it's supposed to do.
But it's supposed to like slow you down if you have that syndrome. That's why I believe that
maybe you don't really have
bullshit.
It. Yeah. A lot of the time.
So you're saying I'm just high strung, Jeff?
Yes, just a little bit.
He's like just a little bit. Huh?
I'm not just informing you, are you? Didn't want to be the one to tell you. I'm not the first one to tell you, am I? No.
Yeah. I don't think anybody else has had the balls to say that.
Go watch Creekbury Combat 7 on GFL. Watch that pay-per-view and listen to yourself. Go critique you.
I can't. That's why I don't like watching it. That's why I don't. I probably will never watch him.
You don't want to see Coulthard Gale throw me across the cage? Come on.
What did you? Okay, no. What did you think about that? Now that you know what happened.
He just pushed me from behind. He just pushed me from behind.
He just
pushed
me from behind.
I just watched it. I rewound it like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, where did I get thrown? I don't get thrown. I get shoved.
Well, like, you didn't get, like, body slammed thrown or, like, you know, released suplex, but. What was going through your mind when that happened? Like, not really the getting pushed part, but then all of a sudden you have, like, this huge commotion in the ring, and then you look out, and you have to, like, because, like, there was a point I started to stand up, and the guy sitting at the computer next to me was probably wondering, what the fuck is this guy going to do? Because I'm, like, sitting there thinking, oh, shit, like, I've got 20 Indian guys outside the cage here all about to walk in. And I look in, and there's you. And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Yeah, I was thinking, all I thought was I needed to get control of Nick as soon as possible. Because he was the one thing that, if he kept cool, I was sure that everything in there was going to be okay. But if he went psycho, then I can't stop him. I know I can't stop him. I'm not stupid. I would do my best, but it wouldn't be fun. But if I could keep him cool, I was pretty sure that no one was going to hit anybody. Things would just calm down. Everything would be all right. But yeah, for a minute, I was like, yeah, and there was
he was instantly chilled.
You know, my official that checks guys in, you know, at the gate, he's a sheriff in that county that the fights are in. So as you notice, he was in there real quick, and so I feel pretty comfortable with him there, knowing that he's a big dude and he knows how to get in the way at the least. And also, he's the coach of Hybrid MMA out there in Bremerton, and so we've got a lot of good guys, and so he knows what he's doing. I feel pretty safe. And Coulthard likes me. I was pretty sure he wasn't going to hurt me.
When is Mamba MMA going to come down and wash that 1 and 2 out of their mouth?
I don't know. Well, I think that we may have Coulthard fight in January. So maybe see if it all works out. You have to find him an opponent, but he'd like to fight, and we'd like him to fight, so I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. You just have to find the opponent, which could be, got to pick a weight class, 55 or 70. It's going to be either, it could be someone like Lyle Birbon. He doesn't want to fight Dennis Holman because they're too good of friends. They talk, like, every week they talk on the phone. He just doesn't want to. And it's not like there's a title or anything. It's just a fight, so. And I'm not sure that Dennis would fight him anyways, so.
Coulthard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand these guys. Do they not want to get paid? Dude, if somebody told me that me and you could make 20 grand apiece if we stepped in the cage and you knocked me out in 30 seconds, I'd just look at you and be like, you owe me 2,000. I'd be like, I need 10% of your purse. I mean, would you be okay with that?
Well, hell yes. I'd be okay with it if it was the other way around, and I was the one who was going to get knocked out. For that kind of money, shit. I'd get knocked out for $100 right now.
Well, I can call Landon.
Maybe not. Yeah, but he's not going to pay the $100. That's the problem.
Oh, I know, but I mean, he might give you like, you can probably get like a free month's worth of time at AKA.
I already have a lifetime membership for free. No.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, see, I mean, maybe he'll give you a rash guard like Chris Gregory.
There we go. Yeah, that's about the only way I'm taking my shirt off and going in there now. The cage.
Wait till I show you this. I just want you to enjoy this.
It's not Chris Gregory, is it?
Huh?
Where is it? I don't know when you're standing.
Oh, dude. Hold on, buddy. Oh, you're not. I'm not going to tag you in this one, bro. I'm delivering this straight to the horse's mouth.
Hey. You gotta get Dave back. Oh, damn. That's funny shit. That's a Greek god right there. What the hell?
I'm not really sure what's going on there.
I'm pretty sure I know why he wears the rash guard now.
Yeah. I think it would be better without the rash guard.
Yeah, it would. He would look smaller and not so pear-shaped. My wife said next time wear underwear.
No, next time don't wear underwear.
Oh, don't wear underwear. That's kind of weird.
Don't wear underwear. Wear shorts.
Or wear shorts. Yeah. Instead of his little tighties there. Damn.
Yeah, the spandex aren't cutting it. We love you, Chris Gregory, but we got to work on your style in the cage. I think that's part of the reason that you're on this cool streak. You got to look good, boxing, feel good, fight good, man. And
when
I think I'm going to start.
Girl?
Huh?
When did you lost in row 12?
Was he in row 12?
No, he's lost 12 fights in a row, right?
Oh. No, I think he's had 12 fights in a row canceled. Because he's not looking good, feeling good, and then he can't fight good, man. If you look good and you feel good, you'll fight good. It's just
true.
Like, man, I used to wear, like, the same shirt to every baseball game I ever played for, like, 7 years.
So you're that smelly kid on the team.
No, man, dude, my mom did my laundry, bro. I wasn't poor.
That's true. You weren't poor, you wanted your laundry.
You know, that's wealthy to me, dude. Not doing my own laundry, that's like, fuck, man, there's people that pay for that shit. I have my mom to do it.
That's true. Still do.
I think really, though, the main reason that she did my laundry was so I wouldn't break the washer.
Honey, that's almost why
now,
I don't do
laundry. How genius of an idea is that? See, I was smart enough as a young child to know that if I figured out ways to break the washing machine, I would never have to use it.
Do not ever touch that washing machine again.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And
come on, Mom.
Going, but why? And in the back of my head, I'm going, ha, 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 played you like a fiddle.
Like a fiddle.
Played you like a fiddle.
You know your mom's going to listen to this.
Oh, she probably will. I won't be able to send her my clothes. Fucking bullshit.
Like, you come home and there's a door on there with a note on your door that says fiddle, huh?
Here's a washer and a dryer, you son of a bitch.
Yep. You go to how to.
See, like, I remember when I like first moved out of from high school, man, and was going to Oregon State. I used to take my laundry over to my mom like once a week. Be like, Mom, will you do my laundry?
I got a great mom.
In case she is listening.
She follows me on Twitter.
Dude, I don't think that's true, bro. I'd have heard about a lot of the things I've said on Twitter.
I'm telling you.
I frequently get messages about some of the things I say on Facebook. So I know that some of the things I say on Twitter.
Yeah, well, she follows me. The woman, she knows where it's at. She probably knows if she says something, though, she's gonna out herself, and then she can't use that way to hear about you anymore. It's best to just be cool and act like she doesn't hear it. In the meantime, she's hearing every damn word you say, boy.
I wish that Joe Brown, you can't say that he doesn't have any body fat because everybody has body fat. I can tell he has body fat.
Yeah. Who do you say doesn't have body fat?
Jacob.
His son?
Yeah.
Well, he's like 9 years old. I mean, doesn't have any body fat.
Well, even somebody at, you know, even fucking Ronnie Coleman at full weight cut has body fat.
Yeah. You have to.
I mean, subcutaneous fat is going to be in anybody. Your brain.
Yep. Get rid of all of it and die.
Yep.
Die ripped. Just ripped.
Which is why, you know, I wish that some women wouldn't weight cut.
Yeah. Because you like your chubby taster or what?
No, dude, because it fucking ruins their bodies, man. It's harder. It's so much harder. Weight cut is so much harder on women than it is on men.
That's true.
Like, you know, I mean, dude, like, you've been in the gym, bro. You know, like, those chicks that train really hard and compete in fitness and shit? Dude, they're all irregular. You know how many of them bros can't have kids?
Yep, a lot.
Yeah, that's why I fucking, I think that's why I like them more. I hope that they can. we can have a lot more fun with our kids than we can with them.
No.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't really say that because I don't know.
Different fun. Well, everybody, you know, that's good to be had everywhere.
Well, while you're going to Disneyland, I'm going to Cabo.
Yeah, but after Disneyland, I'm going to Vegas. So I got the dual thing. I have the cool partying wife and the kids. So do the kid thing, then do the other thing. Some freaks. But, you know, it's not for everybody. Yeah, my wife said
you
might
really
be wrong to do that. So what happens when you get old? And you need someone who you're close with to wipe your ass, not some stranger. Who's going to bring you ice cream?
Dude, I don't really know that I want a stranger wiping my ass. I would feel a lot more comfortable with somebody, or I mean, like a fan. I don't know that I want a family member wiping my ass. That's kind of creepy, dude.
Both are creepy. It's like one of them's like, yeah, that'd be cool. Like, no, nothing good about any of that.
If somebody's wiping your ass, are you really going to know who it is? If you're at that point?
Well, I don't know, but maybe. I'll still be having sex, so I'm not too worried about it. But I was thinking about you, because you smoke and stuff. If you're alive still, it's going to be rough goings for you.
Shit. I'm like one of the few smoking kettlebellers in the world.
Yeah, I can believe that. For sure.
Roll jujitsu, smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of you smoke weed, Roland, but, I mean, cigarettes? Are they like, oh,
dude, just
like
imagine,
smoke.
Dude.
Like, oh, cigarette smoke. Weird.
Actually, though, you know how many people are surprised, like, when they finally figure out that I smoke?
Yeah, well, I was surprised. I didn't know that you did until I saw you doing it. So, I'm sure. You talk like a healthy person. You can function.
I am healthy.
You do this bad, but then you do unhealthy stuff to, like, give you a reason to go do healthy stuff.
It's just like, you know, the way I look at it is like, man, I'm only going to live once. Dude, like I laugh at these people I see. They go and they work out, and they're like, man, I just left the gym. I had a great workout. Now I'm going to go eat some fucking lettuce.
Yeah. Misery.
And I'm like, what are you training for? Like, why are you eating lettuce? Oh, man, I got to eat lettuce, man. You know, I don't want to have any of these bad carbs. Is there a reason that you are trying to eat like a goofball? They're looking at me, they're like, why are you going to eat pizza? I'm like, why? Because I just fucking killed myself for 2 hours here in this fucking building.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to reward myself.
I love...
You know, like, if you're fighting or you're competing as a high-level athlete in something, you know, and it makes sense for you to be, like, cutting weight and eating lettuce, then more power to you. But if you're just some bozo like that thinks like, oh, wow, man, I've got like 8% body fat, you're a dumbass.
Yep, I agree.
You're going to look back at your life one day and hate yourself.
Every time I hear about these diets, you know, always, for a long time it was the Atkins diet. And I'm like, I've been on the Atkins diet for a long time. It's a modified Atkins. I call it eating like a king. Lots of protein, throw in a little bit of bread, a little bit of noodles, eating like a fucking king. It's modified Atkins. I hear people tell me, I'm on Atkins. All I have is, sometimes I have a little bit of this, and I'm like, okay, you just made it to the eating like a king diet, not the Atkins diet.
Yeah, dude, like, here's my diet. I try not to eat a lot of shit out of a can. If I'm going to make something, I'll make it from scratch. I'm not going to use Splenda. I'm going to use fucking sugar.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drink Diet Coke. I'm going to drink Coke.
I used to tell people when they
I'm going to eat red meat. I'm going to eat white meat. I'm going to eat pink meat. I'm going to eat dark meat. What other fucking colors of meat are there?
I don't know.
Whatever other color of meat you can find, I'm going to eat it.
If it bleeds, I'm eating it.
Yeah, if it has taken a breath before, I'm more than likely willing to eat it.
Yeah. I used to work for Landon at the gym. I would tell people when they come in that if you trained here, you could live off donuts. If you come to two classes a night here, you can live off donuts. It won't matter what you eat all day long, you're not going to gain weight. Come to two classes every night. Nobody gains weight training with them. It's not possible. If it is, they're not coming to go to classes, or they're finding some way to slack hard.
Yeah, dude, that's like, you know, like I see, like I remember like one of my favorite clients I ever had, she was like I think she was 58 when I was training her. And she used to work out with me 3 days a week. But like for like the first 3 weeks, man, we were getting really, really mixed results, right? Like really, really mixed results. And I'm like, sitting there, like trying to figure out, like, because I had her like writing down her diet, and I'm like looking at this shit. But then like for like the first 3 weeks, dude, she would fail to mention like the 4 bean burritos a day she was eating at Taco Bueno.
Yeah.
And so finally, she I'm like, I can't really figure this out, man. We're not like really getting a lot of weight change on you right now. You know, I mean, we're getting some body morphization, but we're not getting a lot of like, you know, nothing's really changing that much. And she's like, I have a confession. Like, I leave here and I go eat a couple bean burritos, and then later in the day I'll go to get a couple more. And I'm like, if you would tell me this, I can adjust to where you can eat some bean burritos and we can still lose weight. But when you tell me you're eating like this over here, then I'm not sitting here thinking that I need to be pushing you extra hard to get where we're at. I'm like, if you want to eat bean burritos, you got to tell me. Yeah. She's like, you're not mad? I'm like, well, I'm mad that you didn't tell me. But I don't care if you eat bean burritos. It's your life. I can get you to lose weight if all you want to eat is ice cream.
Yeah. Workouts won't be fun, but...
Yeah, the Atkins diet, that was always a smart one. I laughed at people the whole time when that first came out. I tried it once and was like, this is bullshit.
You don't eat so much protein like that, it gets to be not a good feeling.
No, dude, that's a horrible thing. Like, I don't think I've ever been as cranky as I was on that damn thing.
Yeah. I've been competing for 20 years, so it was always one thing or another. And a lot of, you know, so I tried them all, and just all meat, all protein like that, it's just not realistic. Not for anything.
No, and not with all that much fat. Like, that much fat, you know? On the Atkins diet, it was so full of fat.
Yeah. You're eating a lot of the stuff you're eating, any other diet would say, do not eat this. I just find it the best if people would just cut out their sugars. They're going to take care of itself. Cut out their sugars and work out hard. They'll be fine. It'll come off.
And if you want sugar, go with fructose. So, like, fruits, you know?
Yep. And a lot of people mess up by not eating enough. Just starve all day long and then think they can eat a big dinner. And then they're losing weight. Like, it doesn't work that way. You just put yourself in starvation mode and full it with calories that you can hold on to. And let's do it again tomorrow. Just dumb thinking. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up.
I normally do wrap it up. That's why I don't have any kids, bro.
I thought you just went for the married one, so you didn't have to worry about that. No?
No, man. Actually, I really don't, like, hunt down married chicks.
No, they hunt you. I don't know how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I really don't quite understand it.
Well, it's because you don't, there's no fear of you calling or being parked at the end of the driveway. Or, you know,
when I was like 24, that was cool. But
not so cool now?
I don't know, it's like one of those things where it's kind of, I think it was like a fun phase to be in. I'm like, I wasn't 24, it was, let me think here, 26 to 28, it was fun.
Yeah.
But after that, I don't know. Maybe I just got a guilty conscience.
I doubt that. That'd be something else. Conscience, huh?
Just with that, bro.
Just with that, okay.
Do you need to test my Apple?
No. No Skippy.
It's good.
Is he like MIA? Have you heard from him today?
No, and I sent him a message. And then, because I asked him, yo, dude, what's up with Peggy? And I never heard back. And then I saw him post like an hour ago, I'm broadcasting the Sunday night MMA breakdown. And I posted on it, you are?
Oh, I wonder if when I do that, it shows it as him. Because that's me, because I'm in the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it says, I'm broadcasting live on the air. Listen now at
http://. Yeah, that's me.
And so I commented, you are?
Whoever's running the show is who does that.
And it posts as him?
I didn't know it posted as him. That's what's weird, because it should go to my Facebook.
Yeah, there's one for you that says, Clinch Sunday Night Breakdown on the Madhouse Radio Network. Tonight it's Tough Ladies Night. But that was 3 hours ago. And there's one from him about an hour ago that just says, I'm broadcasting live on the air.
Weird. I wonder why that shows up as... Look at that. That's pretty strange, because that's me. Yeah, that's me. Whoa. What the hell? That should be on my page.
There's two things that I'm super stoked for about Bellator 101. And here's what they are, just so everybody can understand. I'm really excited to see Sarnowski. I'm really, really excited to see that fight. And I'm hoping that we get to see the explosive Saad Awad, the guy that just knocks the shit out of people. Nathan Coy is going to be on that card, Ryan Healy, Austin Springer, Brent Alvarez, Brent Primus, those are the three guys we talked about. Jeremiah Riggs that trains at Sports Lab, he'll be on that show. Those are some of the cool things.
I'm sure it made you.
I also will get to meet the world's greatest cut woman, Swayze Valentine, that night.
Isn't that the future, Mrs.? Isn't that your future ex-wife?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe one day I'll stop meeting my future ex-wife and just meet my future wife.
I don't know if stranger things have happened, but it's possible.
Shit, you got married twice. What the fuck?
Yeah, hey.
You found two of them.
Yep. 19 years and three. I've been married my whole adult life and part of my childhood.
Dude, dig this, bro. You and Skippy have been married... Skippy's been married like since he was 13 or something, off and on. And I have been single a majority of my adult life.
I've been married almost as long as you've been alive.
Well, simmer down there, Charlie. You're not that long, bro.
Well, no, I'm not.
You're only 7 years older than me.
How old are you than me?
Huh?
You say seven?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I forgot. But I think you're 34. You're not 34.
No, dude, but everybody seems to think I'm 24, so it works. I don't know if that's because I'm immature or I just look young.
Probably both.
But I'm a lot of fun.
You can be. That's for sure. What's I going to say? Let me say something.
You should have hung out Saturday night after Cage Warrior Combat.
Oh, yeah. It was a hard night. It was a lot of action.
It got crazy.
I'm sure it did. When Eddie told me that you were with him until 4:30 to 5, I knew that was a good one.
Dude, then I drove back.
That's crazy. Your machine. Must have been something waiting for you.
Yeah, my bad.
It's a really long drive with no sleep. With very little.
We did. After we closed down the blackjack and craps tables, I was pretty wired up.
I bet. What did you guys do?
I lost $30. I lost $30 because they closed, I was down about 100, and then I started making my comeback on the blackjack table, and then they're like, oh, and this is our last five hands, and I'm like, I'm like, hold on. I'm like, what are you talking about, our last five hands? I'm like, why are we closing out the blackjack table? I've never heard of this. Oh, yeah, every night at 4 a.m., we have to shut down the tables. I'm like, hold on.
How long they shut down?
They close till 6.
The Tulalip up here, they don't close at all. They go nonstop.
At Tulalip?
Yep, Tulalip.
Why do you guys got to say everything funny? What is it? Puyallup? What is it? How the fuck?
Puyallup. Like Puyallup.
Puyallup.
Yeah.
Puyallup. And then you guys have some weird name rivers. You're one to end the show and see, I'm ready to have apple conversations. You're not.
Little Guamish, Skycomish, Snohomish. Everything's got an ish on the end. You just want to make it an Indian name up here, you just put ish on the end.
So confusing.
Well, what do they do down there?
Willamette, Fanny Am, Umpqua.
There is
the Kalapuya.
Well,
there's
Umpqua,
not an Indian named rivers.
Yeah, it's just all, you know, the Lewis and Clark, all that bullshit.
Fucking bozos.
Yeah.
See, the Seahawks had a big ass game today.
Yeah, he smoked them. Big 3-0. And when next time, it's first 4-0 start ever.
Really?
Yep.
You need to find out a way to do their mouth guards.
I know how to do it, and I'm fresh out of that. 3.
Huh?
I'm fresh out of 3. We're also out of 3. That's the problem. It's not that difficult to get that, to get to do that. But you got to do it for free. A lot of mouth guards for free. You can't do it.
Is it hard to add the little helmet clip onto the mouth guard?
No. I mean, I guess if you don't know what you're doing, but really it's not that hard. It's all heat and pressure.
I have a new client that is an orthodontist shop, and they outsource their guards.
Yeah.
And I told her that they should do a better guard.
They should.
Like they do a very thin, like, not good guard, I can tell by looking at it.
That's what comes from orthodontist. Not designed for getting punched or kicked in the head. But we do it with straps, without straps, any kind. It doesn't matter. It's not difficult. With a strap, you can't get quite as much graphics on the front, but you can still get a bit. You can still make it your own. So there's some leagues require it because they can't tell if someone has it in unless they see that strap. So they require it. But it's a dumb rule that's going away in most places that you don't have to have it strapped on. And then to get a custom, there's no need to because it's like your teeth. You got to remember to take your impression on the next time. Forget every single time that I have the thing with me every time, but I'm going to make you a guard since you're rolling down there and stuff. You're regular. You should be like a punch
bird. I spit blood, bro. I just spit it. I don't even give a shit, man.
Yeah.
Actually.
You don't wear cups either, do you?
Hell no, I'm not wearing a cup. You know how uncomfortable that would be to beat him? I think if I, like, was rolling with a guy and then all of a sudden I felt he had a cup, I would be like, whoa, what the fuck is this?
I would never roll with someone without one. No way.
You would never roll with someone without a cup?
No.
Dude, I don't think I've encountered anybody that rolls with a cup.
And you've only been in a jiu-jitsu place, not being in an MMA place, because almost every fighter wears a cup. A lot of the jiu-jitsu people up here, they want to wear a cup. They just can't because it's against the rules in the competition. IBJJF or IBJJF.
Why would you want to wear a cup?
To keep from someone...
I don't know, dude.
Cup.
I mean, I played middle infield baseball and didn't wear a cup.
I mean, I'm in your guard, and I'm sliding across to side control, and I got my shin, and I'm going right through the crease of where your leg and hip are, and you don't have a cup on, it won't be fun for you.
Yeah, but here, okay, now imagine this. I've got my cup on, right? I've got my cup, and now you go to slide your knee across, and then you take and drag that cup right across my balls and my schlong, that's going to feel a lot worse than just sliding your fucking knee across it. Because now what's going to happen is you might pinch my testicle in between my cup and my leg and really fucking hurt my shit.
Maybe you need a custom cup or something, because I don't, it's never happened to me.
Dude, I'm a man.
You need bigger, bigger twitch
and play baseball middle infield without a cup. I ain't fucking worried about this shit.
Every year I played in a charity game, fast pitch, with all these ex-college players in Mukilteo up here. I played one year, I forgot my cup, and I played catcher for a whole game with no cup.
Oh, I wouldn't. I wore a cup, bro.
I was catching balls, 80-mile-an-hour fastballs from these college pitchers that were wicked, made my hands hurt so bad, even with the extra glove on underneath, with no cup. I can't even believe I survived that game and didn't get hit. I didn't tell anybody because I knew they'd be like, oh, you can't catch. No way. So I was like, fuck that. Man, I'm playing. So I was a catcher for the whole game, and it was rough.
Even when my sister pitched 4 years NC2A Division I softball and pro in Europe, I caught her from the time she was like 12 until she went off to college, and that was one of the few times I regularly wore a cup. I was not getting one
fast,
bounced in on my junk. Huh?
Super fast. She threw fast, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. She threw like 72, bro.
That's ripping.
Brock is fucking heat. Yeah.
That's crazy power.
Like, the worst thing that ever happened to me, dude, like, I would probably consider more wearing a cup playing indoor soccer than I would doing anything, because one time I took a fucking stone-cold stunner to the gonads, bro, at, like, 4 feet.
Oh.
Stepped right in front of a goal shot on a guy, and, like, all that I remember about it was, like, I looked down, like, I saw the guy kick the ball, and then I looked down, and, like, in, like, the world's greatest, like, slow motion, like, I just watched this soccer ball, like, go as slow as possible and just, like...
I did that on purpose in soccer.
And I took, like, 2 steps and just fell over.
I played soccer for 9 years. That was something I'd do on purpose. Someone was being a dick. They were trying to bully me or something. Next time I had the ball and they were right at me, instead of trying to kick past them, I just blasted as hard as I could right at their face.
Oh, yeah, no, this guy had, like, he was trying to score, and I just sidestepped, like, right into the way.
Ouch.
I didn't expect him to have that height. I'll never forget, I had to go back to work after that soccer game, and I worked at the gym, and I just went back and laid on the cardio kickboxing mats for 2.5 hours. People would come back, and they'd be like, are you all right? And I just laid there. Like, you could just see, like, my eyes were watering red. I just laid there.
Yeah, that hurt. Brutal. All
right, enough technical shots. Yep.
Yeah.
Go support Mikey Ruckus, MikeyRuckus.com. Go to Apple iTunes and buy his new shit. I think you can also get it on Google Play or Google Plus or, I don't know, Google something. It's for you Android folks out there that aren't quite on that Apple tip yet. I suggest you make the jump. They've even got a little introductory phone for you guys called the iPhone 5C. So you can kind of experience the Apple world without having to, you know, go full force on your bank account. So make sure whatever iOS you've got, go support Mikey Ruckus at iTunes or Google Play, I think. There's other places you can get it. Just go to MikeyRuckus.com. All the instructions are right there. And remember, life is like a penis. Simple, soft, straight, relaxed, and hanging freely. Then women make it hard.
Next week's guest?
Yep. Right? Courtney Casey and Anthony Burchak. Anthony will be having his MFC world title fight October 4th. Courtney Casey has her XFC women's flyweight championship fight on October 18th, both on XFC on Friday nights. Will be a good time, and that will be right. So next week's show could be very difficult. I'm debating right now, do I watch the season finale of the series finale of Breaking Bad before we do the show, and then, like, I need to deal with the fallout in the 45 minutes until the show, or do I wait until after the show and then watch the Breaking Bad series finale? That's what I have to figure out before the next week.
Probably after.
I think that might be the best way, but I'm going to have a debate about it.
Who gets the main event at MFC?
I haven't seen the announcement. I know that either Friday, I think, Anthony said he was 8 votes behind somebody. I'm assuming he was probably behind Sam Alvey, but I'm not sure.
So Rama's not even...
I never voted. I never voted.
So Rama's 3?
I think so.
I don't get that.
Right, he's not happy about it, you know. And Mark posted a video about... Mark even posted a video the other day how he knew that Rama was mad at him about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to those fights.
Dude, that's going to be a... That's a sick fucking night, bro. Bantamweight title, middleweight title, heavyweight title. Plus, the rest of that card is pretty slick, too.
Pavlich is not afraid to put his neck on the line, that's for sure. He's fucking 3 title fights in one night. That's serious.
Gee, that's like dropping the hammer.
Yeah.
I mean, check this out. Then he's also got, Garrett Ndabokun's fighting again, that kid. If you guys aren't familiar with him, Matt Joey's fighting again. Nibikin and Joey, I hope they both win their fights so that Mark will put them in a fight early in 2014.
Nice.
Kurt Southern, I mean, listen to this shit. Yeah, this was the one. Kurt Southern, Yonatis Novai. I mean, dude, that's fucking badass in itself. Curtis DeMars, Alejandro Garcia, huh?
Know very much about Novai?
Just that he's a savage Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. Here's another thing I know about him, that he was losing his last couple of fights and was able to get a late submission.
He keeps hitting me up for a sponsorship, that's why I was asking. I'm under consideration, so...
You know, maybe what you want to do is you should go to Madhouse and search him. He was on our show once before the last MFC. He actually seems like a pretty legit guy. I think we talked to him for like maybe 20 minutes. Might help you with your decision making.
Right on. I will. Cool. All right. Cool, man.
We're done. Remember, get clinched, you little bastards.
Yep, or split teeth.
Go support MMAMadhouse.com and Mikey Ruckus. We're out.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.